Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday. It's January 17th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a 61-year-old man carrying $20 was shot at point-blank range during a violent robbery in North Philadelphia. Authorities have recovered surveillance footage, which they have not released yet, that captures the robbery on camera. Police say the victim was walking at 22nd and Cambria Streets at about 8:30 last night when he was approached by five men. Authorities say the suspect picked the man at random. The victim told police the men searched his pockets and took $20.
And you shoot someone in the face for that?
Yep. Then one of the suspects shot him at point blank range. The men ran
away. That's a murderer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just all that is. $20. Mm-hmm. That's not a big, you know, I need to cover this up because I've stolen, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars.
They took what he had.
Who wanted to kill someone. So that's a murderer on the street right now. Whether the man, he lived, correct? He was shot in the face?
He did, yes.
Yeah. But it's still, that's a no, that,
you don't shoot someone in the face. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We were discussing this actually at dinner last night for some reason. What to do when somebody comes up with a, you know, and demands your wallet. Really?
Just give it to him.
Yeah. Give it to him. It's not worth your life.
Yeah. And if that person is using a walker, though, you can probably hold on to it for a bit. But you don't know.
But you would hope that whoever is stealing said wallet is not a complete psychopath like this person.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you had there's no recourse. It's, you know, the money's handed over.
Yep.
So the men ran away on south on 21st Street. The only description police have of the suspects is that they were wearing dark-colored coats. The victim is now stable but has a bullet lodged in his face. Anyone with information is asked to contact police. A monthly mass remembering Philadelphia police officers killed in the line of duty was held at St. Matthew's Church Wednesday night. A large crowd gathered at the church in Mayfair to remember those who died, but also to pray for the recovery of Highway Patrol Officer Andy Chan. Chan remains hospitalized following an on-duty accident earlier this month. Among those in attendance were members of Chan's family and many of his fellow Highway Patrol officers. Back on January 3rd, Chan's motorcycle was struck by an elderly driver on a section of Ron Street between the Boulevard and Frankfurt Ave. Police said the driver did not see him in time to avoid the collision. Chan suffered a serious head injury and remains critical but stable condition at Jefferson Torsdale Hospital. Governor Phil Murphy signed a bill Friday banning smoking at New Jersey's public beaches and parks, yet local communities can explicitly opt out and set aside a small section for smoking. The law takes effect on Wednesday. Yesterday it took effect. The law doesn't specify who will be responsible for enforcing it, though. Murphy said
that's going to be the issue.
Right. Murphy said it shouldn't be the lifeguards, but he left it up to the towns to decide. Senate President Steve Sweeney, who sponsored the bill, said lifeguards or local police could be called on to enforce the ban. The ban also prohibits vaping involving electronic smoking devices. Fines could start at $250 for the first offense and go up to $1,000 for a third offense.
If you want to get serious, the National Guard.
Be serious about it.
So anywhere on the beach?
Yep.
It's
beaches and state parks.
All right. And anywhere in New Jersey.
Yes.
Okay. Because, like, the beaches in Wildwood are so big that, like, if you go to the back of the beach, I have zero problems.
Well, towns will be able to set up smoking areas on 15% of any given beach or park.
Okay.
They'll also be able to smoke in the parking lots, but not on the beach. Nope. And not in the water.
Right. It's funny. Like, I'm very, very torn on this because it really does chap my ass when I see cigarette butts on the beach.
Yes.
Because
it's disgusting.
But any litter. It's not that. Because every beach.
Well, some litter's beautiful.
No, it's not, Steve. It is not. I'm going to disagree with you.
I think that smoking kind of lends itself, though, especially sand, to just drop it, cover it up, move on.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, they put sand in those ashtrays.
Yeah, ashtray. Yeah, exactly.
Just a big ashtray.
Glad they won't be able to smoke cigars on the beach anymore.
Yeah.
Drives me insane.
Does it really?
Oh, my God. I hate it.
Yeah.
It really doesn't bother me at all. But, I mean, I am also a former
smoker,
and, you know, so the smell of smoke doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothers me about smokers is the smell of stale smoke on your clothes and smoke breath. But all the other stuff, I really don't mind that smell at all.
Flicking a cigarette butts pisses me off big time. Cars, wherever I see it, I hate it. Mm. It's stupid. It's very, very simple to keep from doing that.
Yep. Well, hopefully it'll change. They're saying it's now a ban that's in effect. Who's going to enforce it? I guess we'll see this summer. Mm. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
For the second game in a row, a Flyers forward scored a hat trick, and for the second game in a row, the Flyers won. Last night, Sean Couturier had his first regular season hat trick, and rookie Carter Hart stopped 39 shots in another strong outing to lead the Flyers past the Boston Bruins 4-3. Claude Giroux got his 500th career assist and joined Hall of Famer Bobby Clarke, who had 852 in his career as the only Flyers to hit that milestone. The Flyers have only one more game before the All-Star break. That takes place on Saturday in Montreal against the Canadiens. The Sixers, who have won six of their last eight, are on the road tonight with a game in Indiana against the Pacers. Both teams have 29 wins on the season, but Indiana has two fewer losses. The Sixers are just a game behind the Pacers for third place in the Eastern Conference. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. In baseball news, ESPN's Buster Olney reported that the Chicago White Sox have offered free agent Manny Machado a 7-year contract worth $175 million. But this offer is actually low, considering both Machado and Bryce Harper entered the offseason looking for record deals of more than $300 million. Currently, there are already 13 players in the majors with deals of $175 million or more. The Phillies have deep pockets and could very likely make the most lucrative offer to Machado and perhaps to Harper as well. Harper will continue to look for something more than $300 million he reportedly turned down from the Washington Nationals. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs!
Yes, they are!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. I predict a great day today. We're going to have a damn good time. We may even set you up with some money. It'd be nice to have an extra $1,000 in your pocket. We will do that with GoFund yourself around 8 a.m. and we'll give you the keyword and tell you what you need to do. And don't forget, even if you don't win that grand, you might win $10,000.
Unbelievable.
And we're stoked about it. So five times a day. So your first chance to win coming up around 8 o'clock this morning. An old friend is stopping by today a little after 8 o'clock. Gilbert Gottfried.
Love Gilbert.
Who's been on this show I don't know how many times. And we love it every time he comes by. Helium Comedy Club tonight, Friday, and Saturday. So Gilbert in today.
Is it like every year do we see Gilbert? Has it been a little bit longer? Yeah.
We saw him. I mean, there are times where it's skipped a year every now and then. But for the most part, he's here almost every year.
Well, since the last time he was here, I saw his documentary called Gilbert, which is wild. It's just to see Gilbert as a family man and then compare that to, you know, the guy we know who is completely unchecked and uncensored.
Yes.
It was wild, but it's a great movie. It really is.
There's definitely two different guys.
There is.
And you see it before we go on the air.
Yeah.
He's actually very, very quiet, nice, polite guy.
And then the beast comes out.
And then you turn the mic on and the beast comes out and he turns into this guy. But he's great.
Gilbert is. He's the Horde.
Yeah, you know what? You're,
you're right.
He is. So Gilbert stops by a little bit after 8 o'clock, and then what a treat, man. We have astronaut Terry Virts, who's going to be here, and he's doing a National Geographic Live session called A View from Above at the Kimmel Center tonight.
How jazzed are you about this?
I'm extremely excited about it. This guy not only piloted the Endeavour space shuttle, but also was commander at one point of the International Space Station. He's been up with the Soyuz crew, and he's incredible.
You know, the Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan, that big, it's the largest space facility in the world. That's where they launch from.
Yep.
It's amazing. And he's also a test pilot, you know, which is one of the most dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Chuck Yeager territory.
He's flown over 40 different aircraft. and was a, you know, Air Force pilot, F-16 pilot, you know, the T-38 program, all that stuff. So this guy's got some stories, and we're going to get him out of him today. So it should be very, very cool. Kathy's going to take the lead on that interview. 9 o'clock is when Terry will be here. So we'll get him in, and we have a lot to do
please,
today.
She's
so.
Got toe fungus, Preston.
I know. I need to cut her some slack. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. And the entertainment report is up next, along with a stupid question. So let's get that rolling in sex. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit JFBB.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, going to start the giveaway. Super question, 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show, which is back the 2nd through the 10th of February. Here's a question I have for you. Halle Berry.
Yes.
Was the runner-up in which year's Miss USA competition? 215-263 WMMR.
That's a good question, man.
That's right. That's her biggest fan.
Yeah, stalker.
Halle Berry was the runner-up in which year's Miss USA competition?
I'm just sort of like in my mind trying to think. I'm trying to like predate her to like when I first saw her in movies or whatever.
Yeah, jot it down.
Yeah, go for it.
What ballpark year you think it is? 215-263
WMMR.
See if you can get the answer correct. I'll take a look at his.
Yeah.
No.
No. Way before that, right?
Yeah, it was before that.
Way before that?
Way before that.
Okay.
All right, so let me see here. I'll go through some birthdays today, being the 17th day of January. Former First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama, celebrates her birthday today. She is 55 years old.
Just through here a few months ago.
Yeah, right around Camp Out for Hunger time.
Yep. Sold a massive amount of tickets at the Wells Fargo.
Snubbed us, didn't come by and say hello. Come on.
Yeah, I found out later. She responded to me on Instagram.
Kathy, did you know that during the night sometimes she came over and did the can drop ride?
What?
No.
No. She was like, I love that ride.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they have one. Now, I can imagine the security detail is a bit of an issue, even sidestepping a little bit of from whatever plans are laid.
Well, they were showing a picture of the Obamas and their house, you know, their residential home now.
Yeah.
Cars all around it. They still get a full Secret Service detail.
Yep. So she's 55 today. And then on the other end of the of the political spectrum, Kid Rock's birthday is today.
All right.
Robert Ritchie, singer and rapper. He's 48 years old today. The most recent thing I saw about him in the news was, I think it's in Memphis, he opened up a restaurant. Restaurant and bar.
Is it Waffles?
No.
But he loves the Waffle House.
No, there was an issue about the sign and the name of it because it's called Kid Rock's Big Ass Bar or blah, blah, blah. Oh, something right. like that in the word. I think the logo is a butt or something. So he had to get it past the committee, and he did. But you know what? I've forgotten what town it's in.
I'll tell you one thing. He's got a tremendous amount of money. I had no idea that his musical career has been that lucrative. Got his own jet and everything.
Wow.
Like, he's that level rich.
Yeah. All you have to do is take two songs that were already written in big hits, put them together.
Yeah.
I do not like this song at all.
Yeah.
I like the original Werewolf of London.
Oh, I do too. And Sweet Home Alabama, yeah. Obviously. But I... listen, I can't stand Kid Rock. Yeah. I kind of like this song. It's terrible. It's terrible. He's 48 today. Jim Carrey also has his birthday today.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I missed that Jim Carrey.
Did anybody watch the one where he's playing this Mr. Rogers type character?
Yes, kidding. Yeah. I like it.
Is it good?
I think it's really good. It's a show,
okay. And
it's not that long. I think it's like half-hour episodes.
It is half-hour.
So the problem is you got to give it a chance because the first...
I just watched one episode. It was like, eh.
Well, hear me out. You got to give it a chance because the first two or three episodes, he gets walked all over.
Yeah.
And it's very, very uncomfortable, and you're like, I don't think I want to go for this ride.
Does he start to bounce back?
I can't necessarily say that, but his kid walks all over him, his wife, ex-wife, whatever you want to call her, walks all over him, and you're like, man, I don't like this. It makes me feel bad. But just give it a chance.
You didn't sell it to me.
No.
It makes me feel bad, but you should give it a chance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not exactly sold. The first two episodes are kind of like that, but then after a little while, it doesn't change. Your perception changes.
All right.
He's 57 today. Zooey Deschanel, the actress.
Yes, love her.
Who we probably saw recently because it was Christmas, and Elf certainly played quite a bit.
They were in Yes Man together, right? Deschanel and Jim Carrey.
You're right. That was a lousy movie. Or I personally thought.
I didn't think it was good.
There were a couple of moments that were okay.
The concept was decent, and then it just kind of fell apart.
I was hoping for a liar, liar kind of thing.
Yeah. But she's lovely. She's really cute and a great voice, too. She's a nice singer.
You remember that Prince made an appearance on The New Girl, her show.
Correct. Oh, really?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It was very cool.
And he kind of just played himself.
He played himself, and he was dispensing romantic advice in the garden. They were sitting listening to him.
Sitting next to him, the Maharishi.
Yeah.
Zooey Deschanel, 39 today. James Earl Jones.
Oh, my God.
Darth Vader himself.
One of the greats. All-time greats.
88 years old today. Steve, I think it was over the break, flipping through some channels, and I came across a movie I hadn't seen in a long time, and it was near the end, and I watched the rest of it. Bingo Long and the Traveling All-Star.
If you've never seen that movie.
There are so many stars in that movie.
Stars who were stars at the time and stars who became stars.
Billy Dee Williams, Richard Pryor. And I forgot the actor's name, Steve, but he was Apollo Creed's trainer. He passed away just a few years ago.
Great guy.
He's great.
He's also in Stir Crazy.
You're right. Yeah. There were a lot of great actors in that movie. It's about a baseball team, a group of black baseball players.
What they would call the Negro League years
ago. They weren't even in the Negro Leagues. Eventually, they end up playing the Negro League. The All-Stars play them. Spoiler alert, the movie's only like 40 years old, but they end up winning. It's a great movie.
It is. Yeah. And it's the way that A League of Their Own sort of shed light on that part of the sport, this movie did. Yeah. It's well worth checking out.
But the king of Mufasa and the Lion King,
is he in it? Yeah, he's the voice again in the live action.
Jon Favreau, live. Okay. He did such a great job, Favreau did with The Jungle Book. I'm really looking forward to this Lion King.
He's 88, and just when you think that's our senior member of the birthdays.
Oh, yeah?
Betty White's birthday is today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Betty is 97 years old, man. She is on the doorstep of 100.
I thought you were going to say death.
No. Nah, I don't think Betty's ever going to die. But she's on the doorstep of 100 years old and still sharp as a tack.
Sharp. And I'll tell you something that we don't always mention, but for all of her life, she has been a vigorous animal rights supporter. She's done all her and her husband, deceased husband, but Alan Ludden, who hosted Password, they were big animal rights people.
She's 97, and I always think of Betty White with that meme, which is Betty White of sick of your ass.
Yeah.
She's holding a 44 Magnum.
Was that from Boston Public, that clip?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I love it, though. All right. Those are your birthdays this evening. An answer to a stupid question. Halle Berry was runner-up in which year's Miss USA competition? And I'm going to go to Pete, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Pete, what year are we talking about?
1986.
That's correct.
Good for you, man.
86 is when Halle was the runner-up in the Miss USA competition. Hang on, Pete. Miss Ohio, apparently. We're looking at a picture of her in her swimsuit.
She's in the new John Wick.
We have a 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show, and it's back February 2nd through the 10th. 700,000 square feet, 700 vehicles, 9 days all under one roof, and there's nothing like it. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com for details. All right, I have a lot to get to a little bit of time to do it, but many believe a young lady named Clara McGregor, and I'll explain who she is in a moment, was taking side in her parents' divorce with a recent Instagram post sharing a shot of her mother, Eve, lounging on the beach. She captioned it, "My mother, ladies and gentlemen, 50 is the new 30, apparently." And when a fan opined, "Keep her away from your boyfriends," Clara responded, "I keep her away from a-hole men who leave my goddess of a mother." Mm. Many assumed she was referring to her father, Ewan McGregor,
who left Eve
for Mary Elizabeth Winstead in 2017. They co-star in Fargo. But Clara has spoken out about their relationship before, calling Mary a piece of trash, though she later said she regretted describing her thusly. Clara also defended herself this time. She said, let's make one thing clear. I was not attacking my dad or calling him an a-hole. She said, I was simply saying that she deserves someone who isn't one. F tabloids, don't believe everything you read. But apparently, Ewan and Eve are duking it out in court over custody payments.
Yes.
The pair, who were married for 22 years, share four children, the youngest of whom is seven. I don't know how old the daughter is that posted that, though.
I think she's like 17.
Okay.
It's sad, because prior to that, you'd see the family out together at all sorts of events. Seemed to be a wonderful thing. In fact, they were one of the success stories.
Yeah.
And it all fell apart.
Paris Jackson took to social media to reassure concerned fans on Wednesday after reports of her seeking treatment for her emotional health circulated. She said, yes, I've taken a break from work and social media and my phone because it can be too much sometimes and everyone deserves a break. But I am happy and healthy and feeling better than ever, she wrote.
Are you not stunned at how beautiful a woman that she grew up to be?
Yeah.
I mean, it's... we don't really know who her parents were how that worked out, but she got some good genetics.
The 20-year-old model and daughter of late icon Michael Jackson also teased new music with her Soundflowers bandmate, Gabriel Glenn, and promised to return to the limelight soon.
She's actually pretty good.
Jackson's reportedly had a grueling work schedule in addition to dealing with a stalker. Page Six reports, in August, Jackson...
These people are crazy.
Jackson also...
Why can't you just let them live?
Also underwent surgery to remove... I didn't know this, a golf ball-sized abscess as well.
I was thinking about this last night when I was pleasuring myself in Halle Berry's tool shed. why can't people just let people be?
It isn't her first struggle with emotional health, as she told Rolling Stone in 2017, a previous suicide attempt. She said, I was crazy. I was actually crazy. I was going through a lot of... You know, like teen angst. And I was also dealing with my depression and my anxiety without any help. But she says she's doing better, and that's a good thing.
I like that.
Yeah, happy to hear that.
I want her to be happy.
A TV journalist known for confronting would-be child predators has been snared himself in a police investigation. Allegedly, he wrote bad checks for $13,000 worth of marketing materials. Former To Catch a Predator host Chris Hansen was arrested Monday in his hometown of Stamford, Connecticut.
It's one of the saddest mugshots you'll see.
He was charged with issuing a bad check and released on a promise to appear in court.
I wonder how the hell he's got money.
Police say the 59-year-old Hansen wrote two bad checks to a local vendor for 355 mugs, 288 T-shirts, 650 vinyl decals that he bought in the summer of 2017.
So that show, I was addicted to that show. It was To Catch a Predator. It was horrifying and chilling, but yet these idiots, these imbeciles that they were catching, thankfully, that would come in with their wine coolers and think that they were having, going to have a tryst with someone.
Mm-hmm.
One of the wildest ones was on the recent series he was doing, Preston the Reboot, a guy he would commute with on the train into the city.
Yeah,
who he'd sort of struck up a casual conversational friendship with, turned out to be one of the predators that showed up.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
it's pretty wild. Speaking of him, bad checks, and maybe he just made a mistake because, my wife does all of the paying of bills. So the other day, I decided to write a check.
Oh, no.
For a charitable contribution. And so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Steve. Probably been a decade or more since I've written a check, and so I write it, send it off in the mail. 2 days later, I get a text from the person. It's like,
you didn't sign it?
No. So it was January 12th when I wrote it. So 1/12/2019, right?
Yeah.
I wrote 12/1/2019.
Oh no!
So they couldn't deposit it until December of this year.
Oh my god!
It's the European way of writing.
That's what my son said. He goes, if you were in Germany, it would be correct.
Yeah.
God. So it's the same. You and I are in exactly the same boat. Claire does all of that stuff, and I don't even know where the checkbook is.
I even had to ask my wife. I go, the address I'm sending it to goes in the middle of the envelope, right?
Oh, you know what I do? You know what's the worst part? When you write in words the number, you know?
Yeah.
Is it okay if I write the numbers for the cents?
Yeah.
You know, for the change?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Or I would, the way I used to do checks, half I would write in print, and the other half I would write in cursive.
Right!
That's just like my regular handwriting now.
What is?
Print and cursive, print, just mixed together.
Yeah, mix them together. Why not? Exactly.
So, oh, my God.
Anyhow.
We're imbeciles.
Maybe Mr. Hansen just made a clerical error.
I'm sure.
But anyhow, it wasn't clear if he has a lawyer who could respond to the allegations. NBC's To Catch a Predator ran from 2004 to 2007, by the way.
You know, Preston, if you had Venmo, you wouldn't even have these
problems. That's right. I'm so such in the Stone Age. Pregnant Meghan Markle proved that she can take it. The Duchess, who has suffered innumerable barbs from the press over several top-ranking staff members leaving her and her embarrassing family, you know, she's probably developed thick skin. Well, this is great. This is great. On Wednesday, Meghan paid a visit to one of her four new patronages, an animal welfare organization called Mayhew. And while making her way there, the expectant royal donned an Emporio Armani cashmere coat layered over an H&M maternity dress. And while being introduced to a group there, one woman ended the conversation with the observation, "Lovely lady you are. May the good Lord always bless you. And you're a fat lady."
What?
Yeah. And you're a fat lady. She's pregnant.
I know.
Yeah, so
we are not the ones who got fat.
Right. We're pregnant. But Margot.
Well, she said she invented Post-its.
Markle replied with a laugh. She said, "I'll take it." The exchange was captured by observers and has since gone viral on.
You're a delightful imbecile. Her head, cut it off.
On social media. So later on Wednesday, she and Prince Harry headed out on a date night to Cirque du Soleil's totem show at the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, my God. It's
she
magical.
Carried a Givenchy clutch.
Givenchy.
Okay.
All I know is that when we were in London, all the guys were wearing that cologne. The Givenchy? Givenchy, yeah.
You can tell the smell?
Yeah.
When you kiss their necks, you can.
You nuzzle into their neck a little bit first.
Oh, God. I say, what are you doing? These Yanks are crazy. This fellow over here has been sniffing my neck.
Go birds.
Won't let me get back to my road, Karen.
Anyhow.
I actually thought about buying some. It smells so good. I smelled it on everybody.
What's your signature scent right now?
Swunt.
Swunt.
Yeah.
It's like a sweaty vagina.
Yeah. No.
Swunt for men. Why let the ladies have all the fun?
What's your scent?
I feel like I sound pompous, but it's French. So I'm going to say it.
Say it.
Don't judge me. Yves Saint Laurent.
Yeah, sure.
I wear the...
it's a well-known brand.
Laurent. Okay. Laurent. Right? Did I say it right, Nick?
Lum. One syllable, yeah.
Lum.
All right. When do you wear that? You don't wear it every day, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you really?
Every goddamn day.
I've never noticed a scent. Well, there's an overpowering scent that comes over this way every now and then, but that's from your ass.
No, that's swant.
Yeah.
I don't wear cologne. I used to wear cologne. I don't anymore, but I do a throwback every Sunday because my facial hair grows very slow, so yeah. I get scruffy during the week, but I shave on Sunday, and that's it. And I go old school as a kind of a tribute to my dad, and I splash on some Old Spice.
Yeah, there you go.
It reminds me of my dad.
See, so I wear that. Pleasures by Estee Lauder.
Okay.
Yeah, I was I almost bought some Jovan Musk yesterday. Because they were selling it at the TJ Maxx that I was at. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, that's such a throwback. I used to love the way
that
smelled.
It's like going into Ross and saying, could you point me to your cologne section?
Yeah. Anyway, you want me to smell you?
Yeah, here.
Good. What do we think?
Yeah, I smell it.
It's very, I think,
you put
unassuming.
It on your forearm?
I do three sprays.
Like
Kathy,
like a lady.
Can you smell that?
That's what he held on his forearm for me to sniff. Go ahead.
I do three sprays. Like
you do one of these, like with behind the ear?
No, I do two on the torso and then one on the arm. And
your cleavage.
And I run my arms together, yes. And then just one little spritz down the cleavage, you know? But there's also another Yves Saint Laurent that I wear. It's the Y.
Why are you wearing this?
It's just the letter Y.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It smells so divine.
All right. I'm moving on.
All right. Move on.
Steve Carell is teaming up with The Office executive producer Greg Daniels on a new workplace comedy called Space Force. And obviously this is a riff on Donald Trump and the whole new thing. But the series is going to star Carell. which he will also produce, and it will land on Netflix. And the series centers around people tasked with creating
Space Force.
A sixth leg of the armed services, the Space Force. No word on who else will star or when fans can expect to see Space Force. I did read a little blurb, though, that it may be one of the most expensive. They're going to hire some big names
for this show.
And,
huh?
Like, right off the bat, people might make $1 million per episode.
Holy,
like,
yes.
What I thought I read. All right. So, anyhow, Space Force, I don't know when that's going to happen, but they're working on it, and Steve Carell is on board.
That's probably why the monthly membership is going up.
Maybe. So before Jenny McCarthy's Masked Singer premiered last night, the 46-year-old opened up perception versus reality when it comes to beauty. So she told People of her husband, Donnie Wahlberg. She said, "The most beautiful thing anyone has ever said to me by far is my husband, who said numerous times, as I've said, I just want to look younger or prettier in my insecure moments."
Oh, shut up, woman.
He says, "You can't ever look more beautiful. You can look different, but never more beautiful."
He's a smooth one, that Donnie Wahlberg. Yeah.
"And can you please stop effing with your face?"
Please,
was
please.
The other thing he
You know what I don't
said.
Like? Her hairstyle. I mean, she was Playmate of the Year. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But there's, stop tinkering with the fillers and things. Stop that. Yeah. And the hair, it looks like, what do they call it, a crimper or something that does the little ridges and the off to the side of the face. And
I think that was just like one little style. No,
she's the Masked Singer that's her hairstyle.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're sort of damned if you do and damned if you don't. Because if she just ages naturally.
You're not aging well.
If she just ages naturally, we're gonna judge that.
It's true. Yeah, we're very shallow people.
No, I know what you're saying. We've pointed out, but...
And I think she's trying to do subtle things. I mean,
yeah,
listen,
I don't think she's
right
as bad as some people
New Year's?
Look. I did, and last New Year's, people were going crazy about how terrible she looked, and same with this year. And I didn't think she looked as bad as some people look. She's definitely had face work done. I mean, we can be honest there.
I didn't even know it was her until they said her name, Jenny.
See, a couple of people said that, and I didn't see that at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's the difference between pointing out that, wow, she's really aging, or, wow, she really looks freaky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd take the aging thing over.
So would I.
Freaky looking.
I have no option.
Yeah. And by the way, I've been watching The Masked Singer. I can't stand the judges, how they're... the Robin Thicke guy is probably the most
qualified.
Isn't that an amazing statement to make?
Yeah,
Robin Thicke is the most qualified.
But he's not just that. But he's the one I can take the most. Right? He doesn't bother me. But I watched an hour's episode in about 12 minutes last night, and you can do that. So you don't even waste an hour.
I was watching Preston.
DVR it.
I tuned in for a minute, Case, and the unicorn. Last night. I mean, listen, I can put up with a lot and I will watch a lot of crap, but the singing unicorn and the pitched up voice and the
right? You can watch all the performances and the reveal in about 12.
So rather than waste an hour, you wasted 12 minutes.
Yeah. I don't feel like it was a waste because I enjoyed those 12 minutes.
Okay.
All that other filler stuff is stupid. It's nonsense.
Question, did you see who the reveal was?
I did.
Okay.
Who was
If you don't want to know, turn down your radio for just a moment. No, just say it. Who was it?
All right. Turn down your radio right now.
All right.
And it was Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
Wait a second. The unicorn was Terry Bradshaw.
No, the unicorn was not the reveal. The reveal was the it was a deer. Like
this is ridiculous. I don't even understand it.
It's
so terrible.
And I don't think it's going to last. So
it was a hit in. I guess it came from Japan.
Okay.
As you would imagine.
I like it.
There's some odd programming in Japan. So, Jenny says that her hubby said the right things to her about beauty. Yay. Let's see. Amanda Seyfried happened to have a run-in with two of her on-screen fathers at the Geneva Airport in Switzerland. She ran into Pierce Brosnan and Hugh Jackman at the same time. Brosnan shared a shot of the trio on Instagram, writing, "So there I am sitting in the airport lounge in Geneva, and who should walk into my day but Amanda and Hugh. Love you both and all the work you do. Safe travels." Jackman's Jean Valjean,
yes,
cared for Seyfried's Cosette in after her mother's death in Les Mis in 2012.
I totally forgot about that.
And Brosnan plays one of Seyfried's three possible dads in both Mamma Mia and Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. So it was kind of a nice little reunion for her.
So Hugh Jackman's coming to town in June, I believe. And yeah. I was just reaching out to our friends at the Wells Fargo Center. And there is, and I don't want to say this without a caveat, but there's a possibility we can chat with him before that happens. And I just would like to say publicly to the great folks at the Wells Fargo Center, we would really like for that to happen.
He is such a class act.
Yeah.
He's a class act.
He's an amazing performer.
Okay, so we were talking the other day about with Carol Channing, and
yeah,
he's the closest to Carol Channing. No, he represents in talent that sort of Swiss Army knife of capability.
We talked to him before.
Yeah.
He
does.
I know. He was
a super, super nice guy.
I just remember him saying, because we were talking about him working out with Ryan Reynolds, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, I smoked him."
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Take his pants off.
The show at the Wells Fargo Center is June 30. So there's your plug. Now get him on the show.
What day of the week is that, Nick?
I'll find out.
Yeah, because that can help an in-studio appearance if it's during a work week or work day. So anyhow, they had a little run-in with each other in a good way.
It's a Sunday night, Preston.
Damn it!
Damn you. So it'll be a phone call. All right, anyhow.
Anyway.
Julia Roberts is out for Amazon's second season of Homecoming.
What the hell?
Roberts will remain on board as an executive producer to be determined which members from season one, including Stephen James, Bobby Cannavale, Alex Karpovsky, Sissy Spacek, and Shay Whigham will return. I've actually, Nick Murphy turned me on to the podcast of that, which is a completely different group of actors.
Yes.
And
what do you think of it?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's like, it's radio theater, mm-hmm. Is what it is. So sound effects and all that whole thing. And
okay.
I've enjoyed it. It's nice. And, who is in it? Who plays the girlfriend in 40-Year-Old Virgin, the main character, Catherine Keener. Oh. She plays the Julia Roberts character in the podcast. Okay. It's actually very good. So anyhow, maybe I should watch this, but I don't know why she's out for the second season. They'll have to find somebody else. Nick Hornby's 2007 novel Slam, which includes skateboarding legend Tony Hawk as a character, is getting the Broadway musical treatment. And Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo will write the music and lyrics. And he's done, he did the Thor Ragnarok music, and he did the music to a couple of the Lego movies. And SpongeBob SquarePants, the musical's Kyle Jarrow will be handling the book. Slam is being billed as a funny, heartfelt coming-of-age story about a 17-year-old named Sam, a kid from a troubled background who finds refuge and hope in the world of skateboarding when he falls in love with for the first time with a girl named Alicia. It seems like everything's looking up until she gets unexpectedly pregnant. Suddenly, Sam has to grow up fast. Along the way, though, he finds guidance through imagined conversations with Tony Hawk, his idol. So, and apparently Tony is going to help produce it, too.
Are we to believe it's going to be sort of like that is there going to be, like, for example, a vert ramp on stage and stuff like that?
Don't know.
Because you could what's the train, the Andrew Lloyd Webber Midnight, or the train musical where they all pretend they're train cars?
Oh, I don't
know.
You know
that horrible thing?
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope.
Andrea McCardle was in it.
Is it old?
It's an older one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm not sure how they're going to treat this.
What catch is to catch, this is to train.
But he is going to, Tony Hawk is going to be a part of it. And then one last story. Jason Reitman, our buddy, we've had in the studio a couple times. Son of the original Ghostbusters director, Ivan Reitman, is directing a new Ghostbusters movie.
How cool is this?
Work has already reportedly begun and is being kept under wraps, though it will reportedly continue the original 1980s film narrative. Sony Pictures is not eyeing a 2020 release.
This is perfect because he is though his dad is obviously the creator of the first one, he is a major fan, almost as if he was a fanboy not connected to it.
Yeah. And to be determined is if any of the original cast members will return. Though Reitman is reportedly looking to cast two teenage boys and two teenage girls. So nobody's really sure what direction they're going to take with that. All right, let's hit the clips here. Netflix's The Punisher is back for season two, following Marine veteran Frank Castle, the vigilante who is avenging his family. In this clip, John Bernthal talks about the honor he feels playing such a significant character.
It's a monumental, iconic character. It's a character that means so much to so many people. So that I'm called upon to get to play him and to get that honor, it's something I take super seriously.
Yeah! The Punisher Season 2 will be available for streaming tomorrow.
So you could not watch... You can omit the other series if you don't want to watch them at all. And you could jump in and just watch season one of The Punisher, and it'll stand alone. It's great. I love him. He's a perfect choice for this character.
It's so good.
It's
man.
So violent and good, but he is the ultimate tortured character. Really well done.
Yeah, I watched the first few episodes. It was good. I never really got hooked on watching every single one of them, but I like him a lot. He's solid.
Yeah.
Let's do the next clip. Dog's Way Home is a family film that follows a dog named Bella as she travels 400 miles in search of her owner. And in this clip, Alexandra Shipp talks about how pets demonstrative and a divine... What? No. Demonstrate a divine level of attachment. Sorry about that. Here we go.
This movie shows you what unconditional love really does look like. And the fact that dogs have such a capacity for it on a level that humans just can't even fathom. I mean, don't get me wrong, Lucas is cute, but I wouldn't be running 3,000 miles through a rocky terrain for him. But Bella does. And I think that any dog would at least try and do that for their owner.
Boop, boop. A Dog's Way Home is in theaters now. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the entertainment report.
Steve, you were thinking of Starlight Express.
Starlight Express. That's it.
That was the what?
That was the one where they all the actors and actresses pretend they are various cars in this long train.
Okay.
And they skated around the stage and did all sorts of skating stuff.
Okay.
It was pretty stupid.
Sounds like it. All right, we're going to take a break, but not before we set you up with something to sit back and enjoy. I have a case of beer, and I will give you a case of Yard's Signature IPA. All you have to do is be caller number 14 at 215-263 WMMR. Don't forget, perfectly balanced, loaded with American hops, and available in bottles and cans, available at Beer Mart in Reading, PA. We shall take a break and come back in just a moment. A lot of good things coming up on the show, including Gilbert Gottfried and more, and cash to win. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
And we're off air figuring out what we wanted to bring up in this particular segment. We were like, okay, what did we talk about yesterday this time? And then Stevie said Baby Shark. And I'm telling you... All day yesterday.
Yeah.
All day. Stuck in my head. Yeah. Just walking around the house. Not even singing the actual
words.
Don't do
it.
I know.
People are going to get pissed.
I'm not going to do it. We're not going to do that again. But it wasn't just me, I noticed. On
no, you can't, Daddy. Shark.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about something else. Meghan Markle, I mentioned this just a little while ago. Obviously, she's full-on pregnant. I forgot exactly how far along she is and when the baby is
14 months.
But she's not 14 months pregnant. Oh. She's got the full belly and the whole thing. And a woman said to her, and she was saying, nice thing, she said, you're a lovely lady, you are. May the good Lord always bless you. And then she goes... And you're a fat lady.
Oh. I have to say, you're a lovely, fat, horribly disfigured lady. So lovely. You have the glow of a misshapen creature.
Listen, so it led me to believe that I'm sure that pregnant women have had people just say things where they go, excuse me? You know what I mean?
Oh, of course. And this is one of the classic, like you don't talk about politics at the Thanksgiving dinner table. You know, the things you don't do.
Yeah.
Things you don't do around a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Or someone you assume to be pregnant.
Well, that's really bad.
And you it is just not worth going there.
We had who was Beth, our former video worker here at the Preston and Steve Show, came and visited us a few weeks back. And Beth is she's got a lovely figure. She's
a lovely girl. She's tidy.
And I looked down and I saw the belly, and I didn't say a goddamn thing.
No,
I'm like, what if I'm wrong? And she was clearly pregnant.
Yes,
clearly.
Yeah.
But I have no way, No way will I say something, even if it is blatantly obvious, because if you mess up, there's no coming back from that.
We have seen it. We talked about this before. We saw it in person in the lobby of
Y100.
Yeah. How far along are you?
Oh,
I'm not pregnant.
I'm not pregnant. I'm just
Who said it?
Oh, it was Marilyn.
Of all people, a woman?
Yeah. To another woman.
Yeah. I know.
Well, I told you, I worked with somebody who had actually had a condition, and she looked like she was pregnant the entire time I worked with her for years.
She had like an enlarged liver or something
like
that?
I don't know what it was. I wasn't that close with her to know that to know exactly what it was, but I know that she, and I remember when I had started working with this woman, I asked somebody else, I said, is she pregnant? And she was like, no. Did you say anything? And I'm like, no, I didn't, because I thought, she's been this pregnant for a really long time.
Wow.
And yeah, it was, but I mean, it, she was very thin and had what looked like a pregnant belly,
a baby
bump. And it was not.
That's not necessarily the topic we're going for here, right?
No, it's not.
But it's actually like
things that you say
as a pregnant person, things that you have heard.
Here's an example. This text says, my mom told me when I was pregnant that it was obvious I was having a girl because girls take away all your beauty.
Thanks,
Mom. Yeah, but that's your mom. Like, she can say
so
things like that.
God, are you ugly? Your daughter's going to be beautiful. Who wants, in a time when you're going to have hormones raging, when you're at your most emotional, what could be the worst to say? Come on.
Yeah, here's somebody asking, are you having twins?
What the hell happened to you?
Yeah.
I do feel like, though, just a little bit, if you are pregnant, you need to lighten up a little bit. You know?
Of course.
Like,
but, I mean, there are things.
Things are going
to
be said.
In addition to the saying, there's the touching.
Yeah.
People reach out and touch the belly.
Yeah, touch, ask.
Yeah.
I do love touching a pregnant belly, though.
Do you?
I love it, yes.
Here you go. Let's see. I'm a teacher and students, and a student partner asked if I was pregnant, so I turn around and make them feel like crap, and I responded, but no, I'm just fat. So that's a pregnant person playing with you, but
can't F with people, I guess.
So let me go do a couple of calls. I'm going to go to a police officer, an anonymous call. Hi, you're on the air, officer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
So early on in my career, I got to the scene of a pretty bad accident, and the driver, the one car gets out, and she looks to be 8 months pregnant. So I immediately run up to her. Are you okay? How far along are you? Mortified, she turns around, looks at me, and is like, I am not pregnant.
God.
My heart dropped.
Oh, man.
And EMTs come up to us, and thankfully the EMT turns around and goes, how far along are you?
Oh, well, excellent. See?
Yeah.
Did you go, see?
Yeah, that guy's, he's in the medical field.
Yeah, and he thinks you're pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I was so happy.
Did you apologize?
I couldn't stop apologizing.
Dude, I would have been devastated.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know what happens sometimes to women when they get pregnant is their nose changes? And I know somebody who called his wife Jimmy Durante because her nose got...
Are they still married?
Happily.
God, that's so mean.
Jimmy Durante.
What the hell are you doing to Jimmy Durante?
So their nose changes?
You've never seen that?
We're having a baby. Cha-cha-cha.
It happens a lot. It happened to one of my cousins and like the rest of us. Of course, we never said anything to her, but we were like, oh, my God, how does someone's face change so much?
I have something to tell you guys. I'm pregnant.
But immediately after the baby was born, her face went back to normal.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
So why does your nose get affected?
Well, I don't know.
Your neck and your face can swell and all that stuff, but I didn't know that the nose
could. Yeah. Literally, like, her nose was, like, across her face.
I remember seeing somebody, and it wasn't this person. I remember seeing somebody as they were about to have the baby. They was, like, the day they were going into the hospital, I didn't know who I was looking at. I had no idea. I was like, who, what, how does that, I mean, because it was such a drastic change, and it was only to her nose.
Huh.
Only.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Let me go next to Margie. Hi, Margie. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's up, Margie?
So I was pregnant around Christmas time, and Christmas Eve, my grandmother said to me, you look so beautiful. You must be having a boy.
Huh.
Christmas Day, when I saw her, she said, I really think you're having a girl. That's what he said. I'm like, do I look ugly today? Last night you told me I was beautiful and it was a boy. Well, and today you're telling me I must be having a girl.
I hope the gift that you got her was a commitment to a facility. Who are you again?
Thanks, Margie.
Yeah.
Well, that was that was the thing with my cousin with the nose situation was that she was having a girl. Like they were like, okay,
if your nose becomes if you look like Carl Malden.
Yeah, like I guess if your face changes, that means it's a girl. I don't know.
Is there any truth to the notion of a position on the baby being higher or lower with it being a boy or
right,
a girl?
Right, with the yeah, I've
like
heard
if you're
that
carrying
thing.
It high, it's going to be a baby boy. If you're carrying it lower, it's going to be a baby girl or something along those lines.
I don't think any of it really matters.
All right,
there was an explanation of the nose. If you could put it back up on our monitor here, I'd like to read that in just a second. Yeah, I'm going to go to that call case. It says nose enlargement during pregnancy happens due to the changes in hormones in the body and the expectant mothers. The changes inflicted during pregnancy are temporary after delivery. The hormonal makeup goes back to normal level, and all the changes get back to normal within a month to 40 days.
Yeah, so, I'm telling you, like, wow. I don't want to say who it was because I don't want to hurt any feelings.
We
but,
probably wouldn't know him.
No, you would. Okay. No, but when I saw her, I was like, oh, my God. Like,
you were stunned. You were shocked.
I didn't know what to say. Yes. I was like, oh, my God, hey.
Yeah, with that reaction, I wouldn't say who it is.
Okay.
No, but I bet she couldn't tell when you went, oh, hey, what happened to your face?
I'm going to go to Amanda. Hi, Amanda. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up, Amanda?
So when I was pregnant, my stepfather told me that I looked like Fiona from Shrek.
From Shrek.
Oh, Fiona from Shrek.
Your stepdad said that?
Yeah.
Now, mind you, Fiona is very cute. But,
she is. But
she's an ogre.
Yeah.
She's beautiful on the inside.
Yes, the green version. Of
And how did you respond to that, Amanda?
You know, I just laughed at him. I'm very tiny and short, so I guess I gained so much weight when I was pregnant, surprisingly, and, you know, I just try to take it in stride.
You know what, Amanda? It's just such a, I mean, you're, you know, the... I can't even fathom having your body change that dramatically.
No, no.
And what women put up with this.
But could you imagine saying something like, you look like Quasimodo.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Did you ever see Alien? You look like that. Can you make your jaw stick out?
Oh, my God.
I don't know, though. I feel like it is slightly different if it's family. Like, it's kind of like roll your eyes, get annoyed at them, maybe even mad at them. But if it's a stranger, like, how dare you?
Well, for Meghan Markle, this woman was attempting to be sincerely.
Yeah.
But who would think, I know the perfect compliment. Well, you're a fat lady.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask earlier was there a language barrier? Did she use the wrong word?
No.
Like, does she speak English?
She says, lovely lady you are. May the good Lord always bless you. And you're a fat lady. So,
and you smell like tar.
Like, maybe that's a compliment some way in her
I don't
mind?
Know if she's older, you know.
She wasn't that old.
And maybe it's something you could say, you know, we'll fatten you up. And you know,
yeah,
you know,
right? Like, it's okay?
Stuff like that.
She's a fat with a PH pressed to
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like really hip-hop slang. Yeah. You're the shiznit.
You are fat.
Yeah.
P-H-A-T. Pretty hot and tempting. Let me go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Jesse?
So I was 41 weeks pregnant, so I was overdue.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of July, sweating, dying, and someone asked me, are you sure you're not having twins?
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, I think they think it's, like, cute.
Is
like...
that so bad, though? I mean, because if you're full term, you're big. They're not saying you're fat, but they're saying, wow, you know, that kid is going to be big or twins. Did it get under your skin a little, Jesse?
Just a little.
I would imagine you're in the throes of complete discomfort and people are trying to visually assess your situation. You would know. You were probably pretty certain at that point. I think so.
I'm sure I would.
Right. So, right. No, I believe it or not, I have all the medical data.
Press, what's that, the next line in Back to School when he goes, you're tall and fat.
And you're short and ugly. Right?
It's something like that.
Let me go to Aaron. Hey, Aaron, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys rock.
Hey, thank you, Aaron. What's happening?
So when I was pregnant with my son, I thought I looked really cute. I was feeling really good. I wore these, like, really sweet little pregnancy outfits, and then I had a coworker tell me that she had never seen anyone carry a baby in their ass before.
All right. All right, Erin, was this a guy or a girl?
Sorry, say it again.
Was this a guy or a girl who said this?
Oh, it was a girl.
Yeah, listen, you guys know my friend Elisa from Dressing Jane. We told her the exact same thing. Now, I don't think we did it during the pregnancy. I think it was after, where like a whole group of friends were like, yeah, remember when you carried Gianna in your ass? And she was like, yeah, I know I did.
So, Erin, when this coworker said that, was there even a slight grin from you, or were you mortified?
Well, so she was a good... Well, she was a friend of mine.
She was a friend of yours.
Yeah, and past tense. she was very sincere. She just was like, oh, I've just never seen anybody carry a baby. And I just looked at her and I was like, okay.
I didn't
even know what to say to that. I was like, wow, I guess my ass is enormous. And
it's such a pointed comment. It's clearly a missile style attack. There's no to it. You can't take. She couldn't legitimately think biologically and medically you could carry a child in your ass. So there was one purpose to that comment, to insult you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
God. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It's a pretty funny line, though. All right, thank
it's
you,
It's pretty
Erin.
Funny.
By the way, here you go. This is a friend of mine was told, oh, you're pregnant? It's hard to tell with big girls.
I heard someone try to say that to someone, a variation of at a party.
That's awful.
Preston, a large girl, a friend of mine, so we're at a Christmas party, and someone thought it was their purpose to sort of provide succor to this woman who had just gotten pregnant, this friend of mine. Well, the good part is you're a bigger girl, so it won't show as much.
No, that's awful. Don't ever say that. Here's your public service announcement. Don't ever say that.
The good news is you're a Clydesdale. No one's going to notice. And I'm sure you can still continue working for Budweiser.
Right? On the positive side, you're fat.
You can still pull that beer wagon.
Here's another text that says, I had a coworker tell me that I did look pregnant from behind.
Yeah, that's like... typical, though.
Meaning that you can see their stomach from
behind?
No,
like either their butt or their waistline. Like some, because you'll look at somebody and go, you from behind, you would never know she was pregnant. Others, you knew she was pregnant from behind.
This one says, my father-in-law would moo at my wife during her pregnancy. That's just horrible.
See, when it's family, it's kind of funny.
My
friend's husband said to one of their friends, how does it feel to be fat now since you used to be skinny?
Wow.
And he claimed that he didn't know because it was the first friend of theirs that got pregnant.
We just had a coworker, Sophia, just had a baby. Was that last week?
Yes. And congratulations.
I mean, she went full term. You couldn't tell. Unless you were looking, obviously, at her front or her profile, you couldn't
tell. She's a more petite woman.
Yep.
And when she went on maternity leave, she had the baby right away. Yeah. I think Friday was her last day, and then she had the baby on Monday.
Yeah. Not to go off on a tangent, but isn't that child a direct descendant of one of
His name is John Quincy Adams IV.
I thought it was the sixth.
Sophia
Galanos, is that how you say your last name?
Yeah.
She's a sales assistant down the hall, and she just had a baby, so congratulations to her. And her child is a direct descendant of John Quincy Adams.
Wow. Isn't that wild?
I wasn't sure if I saw IV or maybe it was VI.
Kevin Gunn said it was the sixth.
It's the second Nick.
That's the second, yeah. There's a large space in between generations.
He really wanted to wait.
Yeah.
With those Roman numerals, no one really knows.
Here's a couple more texts coming in. I ran into a friend of mine the other day. I pointed out to my godson that she was due any day now, and he responded, oh, I thought she was just really fat.
Oh.
Here's another one. I was pregnant at 31 years old. Okay, 31.
Yeah.
My male boss asked me if, given my advanced age, I was considered high risk. He was dead serious, and I hate him still.
Oh, my God.
How can you not know?
Yeah.
That is a wrong thing and a wrong way to phrase that question to a woman or to anyone.
Here's another one. Said, I walked into the doctor's office. He looked me up and down and said, obviously, you don't need to gain any weight.
Damn.
Never went back to him, said Shannon.
Well, you, looks like you're doing great, Tubby.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Hey, Moo Cow, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got an idea. Periodically push yourself away from the table.
I mean, Preston, I'm with you. I default to not saying anything.
Don't say anything. No.
Not a word, because it just, you're going to inevitably dig yourself into a hole.
And yeah. A and B, they don't want to hear it.
No, they don't.
They don't want to hear your input.
In fact, you go the opposite. You
ignore them completely.
You know, you say something, oh, man, I bet you all the women hate you. You look so great, you know?
They're going to see right through.
Yeah, you don't need to lie to them.
You look super thin.
Super thin.
Are you competing as a bodybuilder now? Oh, my God. Yeah. What diet are you on that makes your belly extend out?
No, but even somebody that looks 8 months pregnant, you know they're pregnant, yep. They are ready to give birth.
Shut up.
But even as a female, I still don't say anything solely because of that woman that had that issue.
You
so you don't know.
Just don't.
You don't know.
No.
I'm going to Anne. Hi, Anne. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up?
So when I was pregnant with my first son, I ran into a cousin of my father's at the supermarket who I hadn't seen in a long time. And she said, oh, my God, you're pregnant. I didn't even know you were married.
I did that to somebody.
You can. You,
oh, you weren't married?
You cannot make that assumption. You don't. Again, that is a.
But I did.
And it may have been an innocuous statement, but it's just dumb to make.
I did it to be a dick, though, because there was a girl that I had dated that broke my heart in half. She basically sent an email basically asking for donations. And I was like, oh, my God, you're pregnant. That's great. I didn't know you got married, you know, basically as an F you.
Yeah, so you knew good and well she wasn't married.
Thought, okay, I'm going to really upset a pregnant woman.
Dude, she broke my heart, Steve. Okay. She broke my heart.
Did she respond to that?
No.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go next to Kim. Hi, Kim. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Kim?
So I was 8.5 months pregnant, and my mom threw a baby shower for me at our house, and my grandmother comes over, and now I'm battling swelling, and I was huge, and then my baby was born almost 10 pounds.
Wow.
And she goes, oh, honey, that dress is not flattering. You look really fat.
Thanks, Grandma.
I'm like, thanks, yeah.
You should have pulled her aside and said, Gum, I'm so glad that I can get the advice now because you're so close to death. I would hate to miss out on all this great advice you're giving me, seeing as how you're teetering on death.
Were you able to laugh it off a little bit, Kim, giving her advanced age?
Yeah, I was. I was like, oh, thanks, Grandma. You know, just working on my figure here.
Yeah. Well, we know not a lot of blood's getting to that rotting brain of yours.
Did you change your dress, though?
I'm going to go next to Kate. Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey. I was about 8 months pregnant, and I was trying on some sweaters at home when my husband straight up looked at me and goes, look, it's like a fat guy in a little suit.
From Tommy Boy?
Like a fat guy in a little coat. Oh, no.
I turned, and the tears were starting to, like, roll down my face.
Oh, no.
I was 9 months pregnant, and you could see the immediate backpedaling. He just started, like...
Kate.
I was regretting everything that just came out of it.
That's when you should have fired back with, it's not yours.
Oh, man. Oh, it's funny. I thanks for your call, by the way. It's different, so, you know, when something leaves your mouth and the moment you realize, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And so, like, I've done that with my daughter. I've said something and been a little too harsh, and all of a sudden I see the face change.
Oh.
And the tears start to come, and I'm like, oh, no.
You're
no,
not that.
I'm not. No, yeah. Are you kidding me?
I'll sort the socks.
Right, exactly. Let's go to Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, man. What's up?
This was my wife's best friend. Actually, her maid of honor and everything. Super close relationship between... her relationship and her boyfriend and my and me, it was a really great relationship. Her best friend was pregnant, and I said something along the lines, I don't even fully remember, of like, it's crazy, like, it looks like a basketball inside of you, and I just wasn't even being mean.
That's not even that mean. It looks like you, I mean, it honestly, that's what it looks like.
They haven't talked to
They him. Haven't talked since.
I mean, that's not even that. That's not even that insulting. Like favor,
it's maybe not the most delicate, but it's. I've heard people say that who didn't mean any malice by it, but that ended it. Wow.
Like a basketball.
It does look like a basketball.
Maybe a soccer ball. I don't know. I mean,
we're looking at a picture here now, Aaron, of the of this woman who has her pregnant belly painted as a basketball. And it says Dylan on it. So I guess it's fairly common.
Here, there's a bunch of great texts coming in.
Jesus Christ.
My father told my sister-in-law that she looked like she could skip a meal when she was pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Another one says, let's see here. My mom once told my 9 months pregnant sister who was lying on the couch she looked like a beached whale.
Oh my. You know what? If you have people giving comments like this to you periodically, contact me and I'll get, like, if to the skip a meal comment. You can say, yeah, if he skips a meal, then maybe he'll come out as dumb as you are.
Here, a pregnant woman said, my mother told me I'd be pretty if I had long hair.
What mind fires that way?
Some women will cut their hair shorter when they're pregnant, right? Just so they don't have to deal with all that hair.
The uncomfortableness.
Well, just one less thing to
take care of.
You're dealing with all the other stuff as it is. Let's see.
You probably drive around in a flatbed, don't you?
There's a few other ones with the, you know, you must be having a girl because they take all your beauty away. Somebody, a janitor at their job said that to her, and all yours is gone.
Oh my God.
And I've hated her since, and I had a boy.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Hey, janitor, you were wrong.
Right. There was one that was on the call screener. The person hung up, but I actually found it interesting. Somebody said, I guess she had twins, and somebody tried to nicely ask her if they were natural, as opposed to, did you have to do IVF?
Oh.
Which I think is like...
You would let someone proffer that information, I don't think.
Yeah.
Those all fall under the realm of...
Well,
they'll let you know if they want you to
know. Well, and you know what I found? People that I know that did naturally have twins, they offer that information up.
Okay.
If they don't offer it up, at least in my experience, it was IVF.
So just know, and I'm letting you all know, that the people that do have to go through IVF, it's a very, very difficult, trying time. So, it's none of your business. None of your business. So I'm just going to offer that up.
No, none of your business. Here's a text says, my mother told me, your friend is pregnant and looks like she just has a cute little belly, but you gained weight all over.
Oh, good. So you have somebody to compare yourself to as well.
You look like a gorilla. I mean, honestly, she looks, she carries it well, but you sort of look like a gorilla.
I'm going to go to Amanda. Hi, Amanda. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Amanda?
So my southern friend Steven thought he was being cute and told me, oh, honey, you're just as big as a house, aren't you?
You're just as big as a house. Oh. What woman wouldn't want to hear that?
I'm in a dollhouse.
Well, I hit him with a, just bless your heart, sweetheart.
Bless your heart. That means you're an idiot, by the way, when you tell someone, bless your heart.
Oh, really?
It's a southern way of
saying you're...
Yeah. Oh, Tommy, bless his heart. He ate his own shoe last night.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Oh, my God. I love that,
Preston, another good comeback is, which ball do you want to stop working?
Right.
Because I'm going to kick one now.
Oh, bless your heart.
Thank you very much. Oh, bless your heart. You're trying, aren't you? Let me go to...
Jesus. How dare you say that to someone?
Let me go to Gene. Hey, Gene, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Gene?
I was about 8 months pregnant, and I was teaching first grade, and I had a group of fourth grade girls come down, start talking to me, and then one of them turned and said, Mrs. Campbell, are you having a baby? And I said, yes. And then she turned to the other one and said, see, I told you she wasn't getting fat, dummy. She's having a baby.
Oh, my God. They were talking behind you.
Yeah. We are a smart. Well, bless your heart.
Yeah, just bless your heart.
Teachers must hear it all the time. If a teacher gets pregnant, hearing it from the kids, it just got to be incessant.
They have no filter.
No.
You know, depending on what age.
Especially young kids. Yeah.
And kids will start to see the process. They'll start,
Oh, she is getting fatter.
Let me see. Oh, wow. All right. Let me go to Natalie. We got a break in just a second here. Hey, Natalie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Natalie?
So I work in the hospitality industry, and I was pregnant with my second child, and I'm in the restaurant, and a very older gentleman, it was lunchtime, comes in and says, oh, you look great. You're having, and I was very far along, and he's like, you look great. I said, oh, thanks. He said, let me see if I can guess what you're having. I said, sure.
he's like, turn around for me. And I'm like, older gentleman, I'll indulge him. And then I turned around and he straight up goosed me.
He grabbed your ass.
He grabbed my butt and he goes, yep, you're having a boy. And I was like, Oh my God.
Wait, this is, that is incomplete. Let me finger blast you.
Seriously, what the hell?
That is incomplete.
My dad is inadequate.
Thank
we
you,
We need to
Natalie.
Go deeper.
Oh, that's terrible. Chuck D'Amico just came in.
Yeah, I have one that's kind of along these lines. It's a pretty cool story.
Right.
My son was due September 17th, 2006. On July 25th of 2006, my mom was over and my wife comes walking in. And my mom says to her, God, you are so big. Are you sure they have your due date right? But, dude, he was born that night.
No.
Wow. He was. He was.
Wow.
Yeah, she says that to her, like, after dinner
the,
or whatever.
The rage must have.
Yeah.
Just launched right. the baby.
And then he was born 2 months early.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
her now.
So you're saying insult them
yes.
to get the birth movie.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, did I call you Dick Brain? Was that?
Yeah, you guys all called me all kinds of terrible stuff. Yeah.
What is this?
Oh man, it's something that I will never forget. We were in the studio and I said,
yeah.
Something.
So I called in and did the birth announcement. Steve wanted to name him something fart.
Oh, we were coming up with names. Something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Casey said, "Are you going to be at Band on a Boat that night?" And I'm like, well, that's tomorrow night. And you're like, oh, Dick Brain or whatever.
Okay.
Like,
memories.
It's saved in his memory box.
Memories. Pressed between the pages.
All right. Well, anyhow, kind of interesting that the princess was said by a woman. Oh, and you're a fat lady. I just thought if she's heard it, everybody's heard it.
Oh, you're the one with the white trash family.
Is that right? All right, that's we're going to have to take a break. Listen, because we got some money to give away, and I don't want to miss or have you miss that opportunity as close to 8 as we can get it. So we'll come back in a second. Go fund yourself. Listen, a couple of great guests on the show today, too. Our buddy Gilbert Gottfried stopping by in a little while. And astronaut Terry Virts will be here. The man has piloted the space shuttle. He's been the commander of the International Space Station.
Walked in space.
It's incredible. He is stopping by around 9 o'clock, so we're excited about our guest today. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Starting 2019 with a bang, WMMR presents Disturbed. Indoors, February 18th at the Big Joint. With 3 days grace to open the show.
MMR's got your shot at a backstage experience to have a few kicks.
Oh.
With a pre-show foosball game with the band.
And a trip to raid the merch booth.
Click contests at WMMR.com and let us know how disturbed you are to win this prize. The deadline to get your name in the hat is January 20th.
On sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Disturbed with 3 days grace, January 18th at the Big Joint. Presented by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Let's get right into these bizarre file stories.
Now, WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Drexel University. Gain confidence in the online classroom with Drexel University's Test Drive. From February 11th through the 15th, you can experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. Sign up today at drexel.edu/test drive. In all the years of doing the Bizarre File, I think that this is probably the most received story that I've ever got sent to me. Because people will send stories to me that they see online and say, hey, you might want to add this to the Bizarre File.
This is the one you have easily received the most.
In the time that the story came out to receiving it. So everybody sent me this, so here you go.
Okay.
In a new case study, Irish doctors report the baffling case of a 33-year-old man who injected his own semen intravenously for a year and a half, a self-developed cure intended to treat his chronic back pain.
So he was injecting himself with his own semen in hopes of curing his back pain.
With a needle.
With a needle.
Yeah.
It was already in him.
It does not appear. Yeah, exactly.
It was already in you, you moron.
It does not appear to have worked. After reportedly injecting semen into his arm every month for 18 months, the man finally sought medical attention, but not for his arm. The patient instead complained of severe sudden onset lower back pain. having lifted a heavy steel object 3 days beforehand.
Do you know how when you're a kid, you mix, oh, I'm going to take toothpaste, I'm going to mix it with Lavoris, and I'm going to cure cancer. Yeah, yeah. That's what this guy did.
During his checkup, the doctor found a patch of red swelling on his right forearm.
Oh, that's my semen pus.
After which, the man admitted that he'd been injecting himself with his own semen using a hypodermic needle that he purchased online.
What? Did he say what he predicated this concept on?
No, he didn't. This time around, he had injected 3, quote, doses of semen entering both his blood vessels and his muscles.
Yes, so right into the muscles.
He was going deep down into it.
Yeah.
And apparently,
it doesn't work if you don't go right into the muscle.
The doctors at Adelaide and Mental Health Hospital in Ireland said this is the first reported case of semen injection for use as a medical treatment. And it was.
We recommend you also stop the poop toothpaste.
It was in a case study titled Seemingly Harmless Back Pain and Unusual Presentation of the Subcutaneous Abscess.
Oh, my God.
The swollen region grew and hardened around the area on his arm where he'd injected his semen, and an X-ray revealed an area of trapped air beneath the man's skin. The doctors immediately hospitalized the patient, treating him with an intravenous antimicrobial therapy. After the patient's back pain improved, he discharged himself. The doctors.
He was just, it was just part of the treatment.
The doctors performed a search of the medical literature and beyond, revealing not a single case of intravenous semen injection for back pain.
So I assume they gave him a plaque or something.
After dutifully reporting the first ever case of a man injecting himself with his own semen to try and treat his back pain, the authors offered a warning. They said it's dangerous for the untrained to perform intravenous injections on themselves, especially when they're injecting things that aren't supposed to be injected into veins like semen.
Well, you figure, right?
Yep. So just thought I'd pass that along. Wow. I may do that again in the next Bizarre File. You never know. All right. A couple caught having sex in the woods while smeared in blood, surrounded by a circle of chanting women, were taking part in a bizarre fertility ceremony. This is in England. A 4-year-old dog sniffed out the daylight sex romp in Hawksworth Woods near Leeds, which is popular with families, dog walkers, and runners.
And obviously Satanists.
A group of 3 or 4 onlookers dressed in matching cream tunics and swimming cap-style headgear.
Oh, my God.
Were chanting in a foreign language as a couple had sex on a plastic sheeting.
Now the semen story seems normal.
The dog, Kai, was being walked by his owner, who asked not to be named, when he ran in through a gap and in a couple of fence posts into the woodland.
You guys playing cards?
The owner said, Kai disappeared, and I heard what I thought was shouting and swearing from the woods. I went into the woods to grab him, and I saw 2 people completely naked on a white plastic sheet.
I know what this looks like.
The woman was laid down flat on her back with her arms and legs out like a snow angel and with her eyes shut. The man was knelt between her legs, praying and chanting, and they began having intercourse. A dead black crow-like bird was beside the pair, and the man daubed some of the bird's blood into the woman's forehead.
Do you guys know where the baseball field is?
Kai's owner grabbed her dog and left the wood and immediately telephoned her friend to come and help her. Two friends quickly decided to visit a nearby school, a grade school, because they were concerned children leaving their lessons could stumble upon the sex group.
I see you guys are busy, but do you know if you can use drones in this park?
Locals were amazed at the brazen antics in the woodland, regularly used for cross-country runs in nearby secondary school as a playground for younger children. Police stepped up patrols in the area.
I would say so. Since then, we have a picture of her with the dried blood all over her face.
No, that's Kim Kardashian.
That's not
I thought it looked like Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm. A Texas woman was arrested this week after police say she shot and killed her boyfriend last month while posing for a Snapchat. Autumn King, 20 years old, was arrested Monday, and police say she killed 26-year-old Eric Charles Allen while he took a picture of her posing with the loaded rifle.
Uh-oh.
The couple were inside their home when, with 2 children when the shooting took place. King told detectives that she was posing with a rifle and aiming it directly at the victim, who was holding King's phone for a Snapchat photo. She said that's when she accidentally pulled the trigger, shooting him. She said that they were trying to be like Bonnie and Clyde, and that she thought that he was...
Bonnie and Clyde died in a hail of bullets.
That he was playing at first when he hit the ground.
Hmm.
But I think she was talking about taking pictures with guns.
Oh.
An autopsy report confirmed that Allen died from a gunshot wound. The matter of death was ruled a homicide. While King told investigators that the shooting was accidental, police recovered a photo from the scene, which contained a video showing the couple arguing minutes before the shooting. According to the report, King and Allen were arguing about cheating on one another. She was charged with manslaughter, so we'll see what ends up happening. And then one last story. We'll end with this. A Taiwanese woman was stopped at a customs checkpoint on the island of Kinmen after returning from a visit to China. Coast Guard officials were conducting routine inspections when they noticed a woman was walking awkwardly. Well, they found she had 24 gerbils strapped to her legs.
What?
And they were covered by a skirt. She claimed that she was smuggling them for friends and had purchased them at a pet store in China.
Gerbil smuggling.
Officials believe that she was sent by a smuggling ring to test out inspection procedures at the port.
Didn't this stuff start with Jerry Penicoli?
The 60-year-old was charged with violating the Infectious Animal Disease Prevention and Control Act. Ah, and the animals were euthanized.
Oh, so, what did they do?
Yeah, 24 gerbils, exactly. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Let's take a break, but before we do that, a reminder. We gave you that keyword that could net you $1,000, maybe even $10,000. The word is chance, and it's a MMR's Go Fund Yourself contest. So, C-H-A-N-C-E, but you have to enter it through the MMR mobile app or through WMMR.com. Do not text it to us, okay? Good luck to you. We'll call you if you win. Back in a moment, our friend Gilbert Gottfried in the studio when we return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We love these visits with our next guest. He comes by, man, sometimes every year, which is pretty awesome. And he's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, tomorrow. And both nights' shows are 7:30 and 10 p.m. And wait, is there a show tonight?
There's
too?
A show tonight.
And yeah. A show tonight.
Hey! At 8 o'clock.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Gilbert Gottfried is here this morning.
Okay, now that brings up an important topic.
Okay.
Whatever happened to the Fresh Beat?
Oh, stop it with that already.
He remembers every time the Fresh Beat band. We were talking about the Wiggles the other day, and I'm like, oh, great.
Oh, the Wiggles.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have a long history with the Fresh Beat band. You have many theories.
Now I think they're all dead.
They may all be dead.
Yeah.
The show is that old now.
So, Jesus. they could be in their 50s at least.
Do they have, like, Barney is, for all intents and purposes, persona non, or dinosaur non grata, right? I mean, is there any traction when you're a kid star, like on a Wiggles or a Fresh Beat band level? You when your career dies, it dies, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think so.
It comes crashing down.
Yeah, I think, they might be one of those where they pop up somewhere where it's like a bunch of, like, middle-aged to older people
right,
remember
watching them.
Yeah.
Oh, this is very sad.
It's like that scene in The Wrestler when he's at the... the convention.
Oh, yes.
A bunch of people that are barely walk and speak. Yeah. Maybe that's what it's like.
Fresh Beat band fans.
So I think, I'll bet you there's at least one suicide in the Fresh Beat band.
It has to be. Go ahead, Preston.
One accidental overdose and one purposeful suicide.
You're past kids' shows now. How old is your youngest now?
Oh, God, a 9.
9 years
youngest.
Old. Okay, yeah. So less than the little kid show and more on to, like, superhero stuff and things like that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, loved your documentary. Loved the movie.
Oh, thank
I
you.
I told so many people about it, and it's a revelation. It's hilarious. You see you as a family man. You have major ironing skills. was that difficult for you to?
I hated when the guy was following me around.
Yeah,
and I hate watching it.
Do you?
Yeah.
For us major fans of yours, who've loved you forever, to see that was so. I'm glad you did it. Thank you for doing it because it was a great insight. But I could imagine it would be annoying.
Yeah, it's like. The reviews have all been great.
Yeah.
But boy, I cringe when I watch. You know what it's like? You remember the first time you heard your voice recorded?
Yeah. Yes.
And you go, oh, no, I don't sound like that. And That's what it's like watching this. I feel like, no, that's not me.
You're, well, first off, you have a lovely family, and you're you know, you're obviously they love you, and it's a great dynamic to see. But as I'm watching it, it occurs to me, you've been able to basically, you know, they used to call Gotti the Teflon Don. You're Teflon now. I mean, I think you can. People can just say that's Gilbert. You know, like yeah. you can get away
well,
with.
Well, I have no more jobs to lose. So.
Yes. And, but there's got to be a zen to that, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
No insurance companies knocking on your door.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, where are they? They'll fire me from, you know, Chuckles in Ohio.
I
mean,
I love watching comedy documentaries, and I stumble across a lot of them on Netflix. You're in every single one of them. And,
yeah.
And I'm curious as to when somebody's putting together a comedy documentary, do they just call you and ask you to be in it?
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, that's, yeah. Then when it's a documentary where they pay no money or anything and they're putting it together for $3, then all of a sudden I'm on the A-list. Yeah.
They send an Uber?
Yeah. I'm Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, they paid you back with your documentary because the filmmaker, because everyone's in it and lavishing praise on you, and the stories are great. But your podcast, I told you when you came in, I've told you every time, I'm a huge fan of your podcast.
Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
Right, yeah. Which was, I think, 2015's podcast of the year, continues to do really well. Because you hyper-focus on that part of Hollywood that we just all love. And we were already talking, Preston brought up the fact that we thought about you a couple of weeks ago because Larry Storch.
Yes.
Yeah, it had his
he's like 1,000.
Yeah, wow. His birthday.
Yeah.
And this
it's in his 90s. Yeah.
And this is the kind of things you focus in on your show.
And we recorded Larry Storch at his house, and he showed us around his apartment, and there were a bunch of towels on the corner of one of the rooms, and he goes, "That's where I stand on my head every day."
What?
And, yeah, he stands on his head every day, and he one time asked his doctor, "Should I keep doing that?" And the doctor said, "Hey, you lasted this long.
Why stop?
Whatever you're doing." Yeah.
I guess it's yoga or something like that maybe he's doing?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I guess it keeps his blood circulating.
Hey, Gilbert, do you have a sort of almost I don't want to say like a Deadpool, but I mean people you need to get to before they check out?
There have been a few that we thought, ah, damn it.
Yeah.
Why didn't I call that guy?
Who was an ah, damn it?
Oh, there's so many. Whoa, like Tab Hunter.
Tab Hunter.
Died recently.
And he had a great documentary that was about him. I saw recently.
Which I'm not familiar. I don't know who that is.
He was the classic heartthrob.
1950s.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And turned out. He was gay.
Yeah.
And I did not know that.
And then there's the ones that agreed to do the show and then, like, die a day later.
Oh, okay.
We had Jack Carter.
The great comedian, Jack Carter.
He agreed to do the show. Next time, it. A day or two later.
Oh, that's horrible.
And then the other one, Bill Daner.
Oh, another comedian did Jose Jimenez.
Yes.
So in the right stuff, they pay homage to the Jose Jimenez character. The Scott Glenn is doing the impression.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Regular on the Ed Sullivan show.
Yeah. Okay. Right now that act would not fly, but
you couldn't be allowed. And back then it was funny.
Yeah.
And there was nothing wrong with that character.
Right.
When you listen to it.
So he died right before?
He I spoke to him on the phone, and he was so excited about, maybe got too excited about it, and he said, "Oh, I'm poor looking bastard. Forward to it." And then a day or two later, that's it.
You had John Astin on, who was Gomez Adams.
Yes.
Now where I'm again, Preston and I geek out on these characters because I mean, even if you didn't see him in that first run, in repeated runs. This was stuff you'd see all the time. Who doesn't love the freaking Adams family and his portrayal of Gomez Adams is genius.
Yeah.
How is that?
That was fun. And what I always got out of watching the Addams Family was that it was funny. Like, the cartoon character
right.
looked like Peter Lorre.
Yes.
But he plays it like Groucho Marx.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
way he holds his suit or the cigar and tilts his head and everything.
Yeah. And rapid fire, he was, I mean, his chemistry with Carolyn Jones, Morticia.
Yeah, they say the thing with the Addams Family, it was the first sitcom family who had sex.
That's true. Because
they were constantly flirting with each other.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd be kissing. Like other sitcom families back then, you know, it was like, the sign of affection was the father would be at the table in a suit. She'd be in an apron. He'd be sipping his coffee and going, "Hello, dear." And dear was...
dear was the sex.
Closest you got to sex.
Right.
You didn't realize... and also, the husband and wife would always sleep in separate beds.
Right, right.
But although the Munsters slept in the same bed.
They did, that's they? Right.
Yes.
And Lily would sleep with the... she'd hold the flower...
Oh, yeah.
In the funerary, position. Yeah, I remember that. That's wild. Because a lot of times, like on the older shows, they would sleep in separate beds.
Yes.
So they were just proving this that only the freakiest of freak people
actually have sex. Yeah. So
that's true. Only monsters would have sex.
Herman and Lily,
yeah.
Their relationship was more like father and, mother and son.
Because he was
a goofy kid and she was the authority figure.
Right, yeah.
But they were sleeping together.
Yeah, so who's in your bucket list?
Oh, God, they're all dead now. It's like I was originally going to call the show the Before It's Too Late Show.
That's a good name.
And... about six of our guests died this year.
Bob Einstein.
Bob Einstein,
which was a great episode, and you're a massive very fan. He and as we talked, we did a tribute to him as well. And Super Dave Osborne was his character, and on Curb Your Enthusiasm. What was your experience like with him?
He was like. Hit the, ground running.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like before you were through with the introduction, he was already, and there was that great story I heard about. Like, his father was this old performer, Park Your Carcass, he used to call himself.
Park Your Carcass, wow.
Yeah. And I think he was Harry Einstein. He called himself Park Your Car because he was very popular in radio and vaudeville. So he was doing a roast of Desi and Lucy.
Okay.
Oh, I know this
story.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not familiar. Oh, please tell me.
And he got up. This. He got up, performed. They say he was funnier than he was ever in his career. And then he was walking back to his seat. The audience is cheering. He sits down and puts his head down.
He was sitting next to Milton Berle.
I think he put his head on Milton Berle.
Yeah.
And everyone laughed. They thought that was part of the he died.
He died right there after the
blow. Oh, my God.
And the funniest part is... you'll either have to bleep this or...
Okay.
Yeah. Bob Einstein, he would always hear the same thing.
Right.
Like, that was the wonderful way to die for a performer.
It's what you would want.
Yes. And so he said he was talking to some guy, and this guy said to Einstein, he goes, isn't it wonderful that your father died doing what he loved? And Bob Einstein said, what does your mother do? And he goes, she's a housewife. And he goes, okay, let's go over to our house right now. I'll pull out a gun.
Okay. Wow.
And And we can both say she died doing what she loved.
Okay. So I dumped out of what Gilbert just said. Why don't we go to where she works, pull out a gun, and blow her effing brains out?
See, I asked if you could.
No, we did it. We're good.
I dumped, but yeah.
I'm glad you asked, Gilbert. Because
it takes someone who's heard that over and over and over again, as I'm sure he has,
to finally say, what really makes him angry about it, that his wonderful death, was that his father was like in his 50s.
Yeah, so
he wasn't old.
He didn't find out until he was listening to the news the next day. Bob talked about that story on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and then they played some of the footage of his father killing at that roast. I mean, Milton Berle told the story. There were all these NBC executives there. It's a really
such a classic
story.
So,
I heard Dick Shawn died on stage.
Really? Dick Shawn was, again, another...
And he's giant, another
A lot
one.
Of people may not know these names, but you've seen these people.
By the way, go to Wikipedia and type in performers that have died on stage. It has happened more times than you realize.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going on stage.
Oh, man.
You know, you've been... it's very cool to see you getting... And there's a whole bunch of viral traction with your John Oliver appearance. Appearances, I should say. How's that been for you?
Yeah, because he was complaining that they don't let him when he does stuff about the government, English government.
Yeah.
They won't play it over there.
It's illegal to run footage of Parliament.
Yes,
right.
And so they would have the first time they had me over. I was reading those like Yelp reviews,
right?
And they said.
Three-star restaurants.
We'll play this
rather
than... And they played that in England. And then the next time they had me reading...
it was from Theresa May's...
Brexit
plan.
Documents, boring documents. And then it ended with, like, porn about Bigfoot.
And it was like... But it was graphic, like fan...
Yeah,
sex fiction about having sex with Sasquatch.
Really
graphic,
scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
But the audience freaking loved it. So was it fun to do stuff like that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they come up with weird ideas on that show.
It's funny when there's like it's wildly to find out. I assume for you as you move along in your career to get access to new fan bases that you had not. You know what I'm saying? So you're revered on many different levels, but so Oliver may hit a faction of the audience that you're maybe unfamiliar.
Yeah. I always said my career walks the tightrope in between early morning children's programming and hardcore porn.
That's a big rope. That's a big rope.
And it is. It's like, I'll get people who know me from cartoons and other people, the Aristocrats.
Well, we had a revelation on the show, by the way.
We did. And it involves this gentleman over here.
It concerns you circuitously.
And his first time having sex.
Well, we were talking...
Oh, jeez. So, first of all... Well, I just lost my erection.
First of all, I apologize in advance for sharing this with you. But it's funny because you are a part of a seminal moment in my life. And I lost my virginity while in college, and the movie Aladdin was playing in the background. And so the first time I ever had sex in my life, Iago was on screen. And so I guess thank you for being a part of that.
I never got laid once with Aladdin. And I'm glad somebody did.
I never saw the girl again. Her name was April. We were at Bucknell University, and it was just on the VCR, and the rest is history.
Hey, to that point, have there ever been Gilbert Gottfried groupies? To some level?
It's like I heard from the very beginning of when I was first starting to go into show business that there are certain towns where, like, comedians are considered rock stars.
Right.
And all the girls there want to have sex with them. And I'm still waiting to find that town.
Never found that town, huh?
No. I.
But you're happily married now, so you're all set.
Yeah.
I wanted to also bring up something on your follow you on Twitter, and your it's a picture of you with Carol Channing, who just passed.
Oh yeah.
How well did you know Carol Channing? Was it just a passing photo?
No, they I didn't really know her.
Yeah.
I had done the comedy awards.
Right.
And they teamed me up with Carol Channing for some bit.
Yeah.
And
was she fun to work with? Or what? I mean, that's a larger than life.
Yeah. I remember I used to be able to do a Carol Channing, you know. Jimmy, Jerry, Gary, bitch, bitch. Yeah.
That's probably pretty accurate, too. Yeah. We can never understand. But that's one of those people we talked about, and it pertains also to your amazing colossal podcast, is that there was a breed of entertainer that could do it all and maybe not do it all the way we would be, like a Jimmy Durante or a...
Well, it's like years ago in show business, everybody did everything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they might be primarily known as a comedian, but they also sang and danced on stage. And, everybody did everything.
Like a Swiss Army knife of capability.
Yes. Yes. And it was like one of those things where, you know, they're singing, you know, wasn't Sinatra level singing, but they could carry the
Exactly.
Tune.
Yeah. Yeah. And they would be wildly popular.
Yeah, they wouldn't be dancing like Fred Astaire, but they could still dance.
Yeah. Look at like a Jerry Lewis, who's a superstar. He started that way.
Yeah.
He was doing Atlantic City gigs and dancing and singing and comedy and all that stuff. Yeah.
You go back to people like Eddie Cantor or
exactly. Those people.
And but that way there was a place for those people, but they really could do it all. You don't see that much these days.
The Fresh Meat Band.
The last gasp of that Fresh Meat Band. What was your bizarre theory about?
Oh, dude. Kiki and Marina hated each other.
Yes. It was what happened.
Kiki was the star.
The original Marina.
She was
the original one.
Yeah, the
redhead. This is the Fresh Meat Band we're
Kiki
talking about.
Kiki insisted that Marina have lesbian sex with her.
Okay. Why,
and then eventually, Marina, the guilt overcame her.
Yeah.
And she wanted to quit. And so they had her killed.
Yeah, they
in a ritual satanic
like the Black Dahlia sort of.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Cut her in half.
Yeah. They. It was like the end of Angel Heart.
Oh my God.
I'm so glad you get so much joy out of this.
Well, they cut her wide open in a motel room and then disappeared in the crowd in Times Square.
It's a brutal story, but it's a tale that needs to be told.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
You're so wonderfully obscure.
And it was funny with the Fresh Meat Band. They were experimental, and they broke
the fourth wall.
Yes,
yeah.
Because it was they had a white guy and black guy.
Yeah,
and it was the white guy who did the rap number.
Oh, you're right.
There you go.
So see, they were
ahead of their time.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, so as with your kids and the children's programming, besides Fresh Beat Band, what else were you into?
That was a 24 hour. I mean,
because these guys tell me,
there isn't time for anything else.
You can't juggle more than one. That's hilarious. Did you ever have anybody from the Fresh Beat Band on your show?
No, I should.
You should.
But
at this point.
I think they're all dead now.
Right.
Because of murder suicide.
Well, the one time I was working a club out of town, and there was some big theater across the street from me. I wasn't working at theater. I was working a theater of like three people.
Right.
But right across the street, you know how in the old movies a guy sitting depressed
yes.
in his room and it says, you know, bar and grill.
Flashing outside, yes. Yeah.
I was getting that light flashing and I look out the window and there's a big electronic sign that says, this coming soon, the fresh beef. So, see, I
that's like a Raymond Chandler.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
yeah, like a now, like a noir.
Now the Fresh Beat Band, much yeah. like anything on Nickelodeon Disney, I always have the feeling like it's okay to watch it as long as you pretend you don't want to have sex with the lead actress.
Right.
You know, it was that way with, like, Hannah Montana or any of those.
We call it doing the math. So you have to do the calculations and see, is this acceptable?
Yes.
And when you find out that, you know, it's being played by a 24-year-old actress.
Yeah, then it's okay.
But it's okay. You don't want to fall into that predatory realm.
Yeah, because I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like, one day I'm going to run into, because I did an episode of Hannah Montana, that I'm going to run into Miley Cyrus and tell her, oh, I thought you were, you know, I totally, thanks, I was 5 when I did that.
You don't want that. What was it like to work with her?
Yeah, I don't know. It was very.
Yeah, you don't know. John.
Yeah, she was. You know, I didn't really talk to her all that much. I said hello and said hello to Achy Breaky Heart and
her father.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know it's
yeah.
wild? It's wild though because you. What? Why would? How did you end up? It's like when you look at Scooby Doo episodes and Ruth Buzzy's on. How did you end up on Hannah Montana?
Yeah, it was that's a good way of putting it. How did you wind up on Hannah Montana? I was out there doing something. I was doing a part in a movie that no one ever saw.
Right.
But I think they knew I was out there, and they said, "Oh, you want this part open on the right after you finish this
yeah.
movie."
And Hannah Montana is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that used to be a gigantic show.
Yeah. And so you just ended up and that was it.
Yeah. Well.
Hey, Gilbert, I wanted to ask about this thing called Cameo, which is
videos that celebrities
can make. You can have celebrities make a short video
yeah.
for you, correct?
Yes.
You've been doing that for a little while? Or?
Just recently. About a matter of 2-3 weeks.
Will you say pretty much anything that people ask you to?
Well,
or?
here's. I mean, I'm not watching my language, of course.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But what I try to stay away from is when it's an obvious advertisement.
Okay.
Because then it's like you want a free celebrity endorsement.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Something you would make a lot of money for and they're trying to come into the side door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or something I'd lose a lot of money for.
Yeah. I forgot who it was. It might have been like Brett Favre or somebody like that who they tricked into saying
something. Yeah. Like a Nazi group.
Yeah. yeah.
But I would just like to say if there's any Nazi groups out there, if you pay me. I'll read speeches from Hitler, anything you want me to do.
It's got to be in the check, though.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Man. Well, listen, if you want to see Gilbert, he's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club. There is one show tonight that is at 8 o'clock, and then tomorrow and Saturday, 7:30 and 10 p.m., and, of course, the podcast, how often are new shows?
Oh, every Monday.
Every Monday.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal. You'll be able to catch that. And I think Dick Cavett was a recent guest.
Yes. And it hasn't aired yet. We interviewed, better known as Ilya Kuryakin.
Oh, from a Man from U.N.C.L.E.,
yeah.
David McCollum.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on.
He was actually, his wife was
Jill Ireland,
who was Charles Bronson's, all this stuff. Yeah, Charles Bronson's wife eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't bring that up when I was talking
because he stole
but
her.
But that, to me, fascinates.
Well, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was a great, it was one of the first
In the midst of all the James Bond stuff.
Yeah. And I loved it. And there was The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. and all that stuff.
Oh, there was Leo G. Carroll.
Yes, who was in Tarantula.
Tarantula.
Yeah, see?
Did they do a big screen adaptation of Man
They
from
did.
U.N.C.L.E.?
They did it with Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer.
That's right.
And they always screw those
They screwed
up.
It up. Yeah. It was too much.
They're doing a big movie version of the French Peanut.
Yeah. I think they're missing a golden opportunity.
Yeah, I think with Emma Stone.
Me too.
But only if you include that drama between Marina and Kiki.
With an angel heart ending. Yeah.
Angel heart. Gilbert, we love you. Thanks for coming by, Enjoy your time. Helium Comedy Club. Yeah. Gilbert Gottfried, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Stone. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We skipped traffic, so we need to... We did skip traffic, right?
No.
No, we did it? I'm sorry. I saw the traffic music up there.
But did we really listen to it?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Maybe now.
Sometimes in this workaday world, we just brush right over things and we don't listen.
I'm sorry. I'm barely paying attention. We have our next guest is coming up in a little bit and has not arrived into the studio as of yet. They hit a little bit of traffic. So
I wonder how that is for somebody like him.
Someone who's traveled into space getting stuck in traffic.
Right. Somebody who's traveled at the speed of sound or twice the speed of sound.
Well, I was reading
Times faster than the speed of sound. Yeah.
Reading up on him on Terry Virts, who's coming in. But Preston, he says when he got back to Earth and put on the news, somehow it all seems a little banal, you know, once you've seen the bigger picture, you know, I can only imagine. So being stuck on the Schuylkill after, you know, traveling into space, it puts it all into a context, I assume.
Yep.
Can I make a recommendation while we're waiting and killing all time? I went and saw the movie Free Solo last night. Steve, you talked about Alex Honnold earlier in the week.
It's a great movie. It's actually
have you seen it?
It's on Apple TV.
You saw it?
I did see it. I thought it was great.
It's unbelievably great. I've never seen anything like it before. And if you are at all into documentaries about nature or things along those lines or pushing the boundaries of human achievement, Free Solo is just incredibly well done, and it's playing at the IMAX in King of Prussia, which is where I saw it last night. So in IMAX, you get all of these views of El Capitan, of Yosemite, and what Alex is able to do, which no human had ever done in the history of the planet before.
Climb El Capitan?
Free climb, yes.
Free Solo means you climb without any ropes, without any gear. You just climb up. And he's probably the best climber in the world anyway. But people have died doing this, and he did it knowing that. And the documentary is just dives deep into his psyche. It's really, really well done. So I just wanted to put that out there.
All right. I will definitely see that. Sounds really awesome. All right. Our next guest is here, and he is an adventurer as well as this gentleman is. And, you know, taking some serious risks, but all in the name of science and exploration. I could go through all his accolades, but we're just going to talk to him. It's a National Geographic live event called View from Above, which will be at the Kimmel Center tonight at 8 o'clock. Please welcome astronaut Terry Burch to our program.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Nice to see you, Terry. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
While you were walking up, we were saying, for a person like yourself, who's been farther than most people ever To get stuck in traffic must just be such a joy.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So we're really stoked about having you here this morning. And just to give some people a little bit of background, Terry has not only been the pilot of the space shuttle, the Endeavor, STS-130, I think it was.
It was, yeah.
And also, you have flown on the Soyuz spacecraft as well. Commanded the International Space Station for 200 days, and also have performed spacewalks as well. Did I cover all that correctly?
I did, and okay. And I spent my summers in York, PA. With my
York, PA. Uncle. Well, there okay. you go.
Learned how to ski at Jack Frost. So,
nice. So you're familiar with the area?
I'm from around here, yeah. From Maryland.
Oh, okay. Yes. Columbia?
Columbia, for the most part, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Oh, man. All right. Where does your trajectory into space start?
It started for me in kindergarten. I mean, literally, the first book I ever read was about space. I grew up with pictures of airplanes and rockets on the wall. So just when I was little, I wanted to do it. And
was there a particular person that you idolized? Were you like a Chuck Yeager, or was there somebody that you fixated on, or just the entire program in general?
So, of course, Neil and Buzz, you know, landing on the moon. When I was a teenager, I read a book called The Right Stuff.
It's a masterpiece.
Just amazing.
Love it.
And actually, the night before my first launch, me and the commander watched that movie.
It's so good.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, it ended up describing my career. But as a kid, it really motivated me. And also told me, I didn't know, I mean, I wasn't born in the royal family of astronauts. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know I was going to grow up to do this. So it was really an inspiration.
So the Air Force Academy, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so you get your chops there, and you move on to what is, I think, is an amazing, terrifying, super cool thing. You become a test pilot. You're testing out.
I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you've flown in 40 different plus aircraft. And with that, there's an inherent risk, obviously, as is depicted in The Right Stuff, when Yeager's asked to test out deals. You know, is just the overpowering, you know, I'm going to keep going. Does that overpower fear, or is you have to have fear a little bit, some kind of fear, or do you?
You know, I must be a genetic defect. I think just as a pilot, I'm just not. I just don't get afraid in those situations.
Thank God for the defect, because if we didn't have people like you, we would never have. You know, we'd never have those leaps forward.
Right.
You know?
I think the most I was on DC 101. You guys know the radio?
Sure. Yes.
They asked me the same question. Were you afraid of flying and the airplanes and the rockets and stuff? Didn't.
Well, we can't screwing say that on the air.
I don't know what you can say on the air.
Yeah. Astronaut. Potty mouth.
Ooh.
I love it. I wanted to ask you this. I mean, because clearly, you know, there's going to be fear because.
Bucket list check, by the way.
Yeah. To curse on terrestrial.
Yeah, exactly.
But in test piloting, and you guys take precautions, you have step-by-step procedures you're going to do as you're going through to make sure that these pieces of equipment operate the way they're intended to, and mm-hmm. you really don't know until you get up there and do it. Mm-hmm. But you do have steps that you take to ensure that you're doing it a bit at a time to see where you can take the next step. So I know you have those checks and balances in place. One of the questions I wanted to ask about flying experimental aircraft is, Steve and I have always pointed out that when they make cars and they show you the concept cars, you're like, man, I hope they make that one day.
Yeah.
And then they never do.
They
the
never
coolest
do.
Looking ones they
yeah.
never make.
Right.
Are there any aircraft where you're like, boy, I hope this one really makes it to the finish line?
Yeah, you know, there was a thing called the X-29, and the wings were actually pointed forward,
mm-hmm.
and you get less drag. And, like, if you're maneuvering a lot, you can just maneuver better that way.
So I saw pictures really cool. of this thing. It looked cool, but what's why didn't
they built
it?
Well, I don't know why they built a test version of it.
Yeah.
You know, people flew it, and then they never built it. And it's really hard to make the wings. There's a picture of it just got called up.
Yeah.
Yep. It's hard to make the wings on that thing. Because they have a tendency to want to break off, which is bad.
I guess it's right? structural.
Other than that, it's a great airplane. Yeah.
Structural integrity issue. I'm sorry, Preston.
The shuttle program, when I was a kid, you and I are the same age. You're 51. I turn 51 next week. I when I was a kid,
the Enterprise. I lived in St. Louis, so we went out to Lambert Field.
Right.
And when they were flying it across country on that 747, they landed it there. So I went with my parents to see it. And I was telling these guys, as cool as that was, what I didn't know is these two T-38s came flying in first. I'm like, look at those things. Those are badass. And you were part of that program too, right? The T-38s?
Yes. So that's our main training that we do as astronauts. And it's actually the best. It's not learning the specifics of, you know, how to fly the shuttle or how to operate whatever system on the station, but it's real life. And it's training your brain to think ahead and not be afraid. And, you know, the decisions you make actually affect you, like you die if you don't make the right decision. If you're in a simulator, if you screw up, you just turn it off and walk out. But
you say, so you say your fear is effing up, but that's the only fear. To be that systematic, you know, there's some in the right stuff. There are a number of situations that are depicted where they're showing, you know, you're basically sitting. You're sitting on a huge a bomb. You know, when the launch takes place. I wanted to ask you about, so you go up on the Soyuz, you traveled up to the International Space Station on the Soyuz, and you launched from the Cosmodrome.
Right, in Baikonur.
Right, which is now that is the largest space facility on Earth, is it not?
It's huge.
So give us your impressions of that and what that was like.
Oh, that was amazing. It was like going back into the 1960s. In fact, there's a lot of launch pads, but when I launched, we used the same one that Yuri Gagarin launched from.
Oh my God!
It's a mind blow because you'd see footage. Now, I'm older, but I remember seeing. You know, you'd see the footage. The Russians are up to this, and they would show the launches. And you're like, oh my God! And it created a sense of panic, but it's also very cool.
It was cool. I mean, the best part of my mission was being up there with the Russians. I was good friends with those guys. We still text each other. And we really had a good time.
I'm wearing that button out. Terry, you can't say those words. I know you're really smart and an astronaut, but and by the way, you share the distinction with Gilbert Gottfried of being bleeped two segments in a row.
So, oh, man.
F word is out. S word is out.
All right, I got it. All right. My bucket list keeps on getting checked off. So anyway, the experience of flying with those guys was amazing, and it was pretty cool to be from that same launch pad. I used to joke with them because they were in the Russian Air Force, and I would say, hey, the U.S. Air Force has a long tradition of being here in Baikonur. Yeah. You know, we're flying today. Back in the day, Gary Powers came over in his U-2, so, you know, the U.S. Air Force has been visiting here for a while.
Right, the U-2, the spy incident. Yeah, no, that's cool.
I want to ask about the shuttle versus the Soyuz program, completely different.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, you have, a spacecraft that you can land on a runway and reuse. The Soyuz is more of a capsule-based spacecraft, right. Which you do at an Earth landing as well.
Mm-hmm.
How piloting that? And now we know you were a pilot of the space shuttle, but you weren't the pilot of Soyuz, were you?
No.
Okay.
No.
So is that? Are you just kind of obviously you have duties to do, but at that point are you kind of along for the ride?
Oh yeah, landing. In fact, tonight I show a video of what a landing is like in the Soyuz.
And I wanted to ask about that because the braking system that's used before you guys hit the ground, there's a big burst of an engine.
What is that like?
The Russians call it the soft landing rockets.
Yeah,
it should be called less of a crash landing rocket.
Right,
because that's what they say. It's like
driving into a telephone pole.
Oh my God!
Really?
Well, you'll see the video. Come watch the video.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And with that, by the way, there'll be all sorts of the photographs that you've been taking and things. I just wanted to ask quickly, Casey, to jump in. There is a classic photo that I became aware of. Before I became aware of, you know, exactly who had taken it, around the time of Leonard Nimoy's death, it's you doing the Vulcan peace sign, live long and prosper,
right.
Through a window over Earth, over, I believe it was Boston, right? Which is Leonard Nimoy's birth city.
It is. It was amazing. In fact, that's one of the stories I tell. I use that picture. And we had a saying in the F-16, I'd rather be lucky than good.
Yeah.
And I did not plan that. I didn't have any time. I got an email that said, hey, Leonard Nimoy died. You know, Spock passed away. Can you do something? I got this picture of the sign and Earth, and I didn't know it, but in the background was Boston. So,
That was happenstance.
Well, it was completely, completely
that's
unplanned.
Crazy.
It was
no
just,
kidding.
Yeah.
All right, so the first
but it
time
was really cool. It was a great tribute to Leonard.
No, were you a Star Trek fan?
I was. Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit, you know, it was before I was born, but yeah. I liked it.
And yeah.
I was more in the movies, right? The
Star
the
Wars?
Show was, no, well.
Oh, the Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
of right. course, Star Wars was huge when we were kids. But, yeah, so the TV show was before, but, you know, they're still showing those old.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know how to ask this question, so I'm just going to say it this way.
We need the button.
You will not need the button.
We got it.
But is there anything you can say or that you have said to flat earthers?
Yes. So, you know, I went to England this one time and I was on the British news and they wanted to talk about flat earth. And I'm
with
like,
Piers Morgan, yeah?
With Piers Morgan, yeah, yes. Yeah. You guys got to be, you're killing me. This guy out in Seattle wanted to build a rocket to climb up to 1,000 feet.
What? 1,000 feet?
To prove that the earth was, I'm like, okay. So if the earth was flat and when I launched to the east going 17,000 miles an hour, I'd still be flying off to the east. You know, thankfully it's not. It's round and I came back around and landed. So, yeah, you know.
But there's no, Preston and I were talking about this. I think it's more... There is more of a need to be part of a group than to actually have it predicated on any real science or fact. In other words,
there's no science. I think it's a way to get Twitter followers or something.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. And if they believe that, you know, if they want to believe that, that's their deal. But there is, I mean, you have been there. You know, and they're, you know. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But they explain it, you know, and it is still, does it boggle you, your mind that it's still a fairly pervasive perception?
I think it's just a way to get, like if you're a rapper or something,
it gets you some press. Yeah, maybe that's it.
It does, but I believe some people believe it, and it's just, it blows me away because the amount of man hours, people, engineering, science, people who have died and all these other things that have happened for decades aren't enough proof for you.
Well, I think it speaks to a bigger issue in that, okay, flat earth's one thing, but there's lots of things. If somebody says something, there will be a group of people that believe them.
Right.
So it's really important to like have policy and everything based in fact and science.
And also, it's
craziness.
It's an incumbent on all of us to do our due diligence and do your own investigation.
Don't just believe what you hear.
Right, yeah.
Look into it.
And by the way, that comment I made was not just about flat earthers, about people who deny that the space program is legitimate.
The landing on the moon.
Or just going into space, period.
I have to tell you, because I was so impressed, and I got the Oculus, the VR thing, and so I purchased a program from NASA that's a simulation of the Apollo 11, the landing on the moon, and the whole thing, and it's accompanied with audio, and I guess I'm supposed to be Neil Armstrong and the limb and the whole thing. I'm sitting on my couch and I'm sweating bullets. You know, you were up there. You know, as you say, and you're cool as a cucumber. But you had an incident occur. I think it was an alarm went off aboard the space station, and it was explain what happened. It was a 20.
Oh yeah. So I wrote 15? An entire chapter.
Yeah.
My book, View from Above, chapter 5 is about this. The station has 3 different emergencies that we practice for: fire, which there's false alarms that happen. An air leak, which occasionally there's a false alarm, but the third is an ammonia leak. Ammonia is the coolant, and ammonia is super deadly.
Like
they tell you if you smell it, you don't have to worry about it because you're going to die. It's like not good.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's comforting.
So, and that alarm had never gone off ever in the history of the station. So one day it went off, and long story short, I don't want to give it away because this is like big part of my talk tonight. But the main part about it wasn't the emergency. It was that we had to hang out on the Russian segment, and in the middle of all this mess with Russia, the deputy prime minister called up and said, hey, you can stay as long as you want. We'll work together to get through this. So it was a great story of international cooperation.
That's cool. So you can hear about that tonight.
You can.
Okay. But it's so to us, to, you know, when we see the fuel gauge come on in our cars and we start getting nervous, you know, it is a context we can scarcely comprehend.
That's why the T-38s are so good for astronaut training, because when the fuel gauge comes on that, you can't just like pull over and stop. You have to find a runway to land on.
Yeah.
And I've got all my best scary stories were in airplanes, and you know those are far, things far you more have to deal with those. Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean, space there were some too, but most of them were in F-16s or T-38s.
I have spacecraft questions and aircraft questions. Somebody texts in, good question. Were you ever? And I don't think so. I think that by the time you got into the pilot program, they weren't around anymore. SR-71 Blackbird, was that already retired by the time you were a pilot?
I think that thing retired like a year or two after I got in, so I was too young for that.
Okay, all right.
Cool airplane.
How about in spacecraft, the liftoff and getting into low Earth orbit or returning to Earth?
Yes.
What is more exciting slash fun? Obviously, you've got things to concentrate on, but I can imagine you don't let the experience get past you.
Yeah, the launching is incredible. The sound, the noise, the shaking, all that. But the test pilot in me, like, you got to go from 0 to 17,000 miles an hour, which is a big deal. But you got to go from 17,000 to 0. And the test pilot in me, I think I thought that was even a bigger deal. Wow. It's not as flashy, so to speak, but it's hard to do. And you'll see pictures tonight. Looking out the window, it's orange and pink and the flashing. Coming back in the Soyuz, the shuttle was like an airliner. I mean, it's kind of gentle. The G-forces are not that big. The Soyuz is more like riding a bowling ball. And that thing was like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It was crazy.
You said when you first saw the Earth, you said it was as if you had lived your life from space, you'd lived your life in black and white and finally saw what color was.
Right.
And the blues you'd never seen before.
Right.
Do you get emotional?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to see, like, you're not on the planet anymore.
Yeah.
You're in space and there's Earth down there, you know. And for me, it was emotional. But I had to fly the shuttle, so it was like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. All right, back to, you know, turn the hydraulic pumps off.
When I'm driving, you know, like we were driving up Mount Washington.
Right.
And, like, I'm driving, right? It's a scary road, so I have to pay attention. Everybody else gets
to
see.
And then you hit zero G.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody gets to see.
Exactly.
And I'm like, well,
yes.
When you do pierce the envelope of space for the first time, I assume you did it as a regular pilot, correct? I mean, you sort of touch the edge of, I mean,
on an F-16?
Yeah, yeah.
I 50,000 feet as high as that went, and
okay,
that's kind of high. It's a little bit different, but you're not quite
right. Not black, quite there. Right. Yeah, yeah, but yeah.
It's on the way.
Okay. And are you so in the moment that you can't perceive? You know, is it a snapshot in your mind? I mean, you know, how does it record in your mind?
I remember distinctly a couple things, and the whole chapter one is about the 8.5-minute launch. I remember seeing the east coast of the U.S.
Yeah.
The shuttle launches upside down, and then it rolled heads up to point the antennas at the satellite. And you don't know if it's going to roll left or right. So if it rolls one direction, the commander, the guy in the left seat, gets to see Earth. And if it rolls the other direction, the guy in the right seat. And luckily, again, I'd rather be lucky than good, it decided to roll. So I saw the first view of Earth was of the east coast at nighttime. And it was like, wow. And, of course, I'm smashed in my seat and the rockets are burning. And
yeah.
And I didn't know, but there was no doubt. Like, okay, there's Baltimore, Washington. There's Philly. There's New York. You could see it all only in a few seconds. And then it was back to flying the shuttle.
It's so amazing.
That was my first view.
If you're tuning in, astronaut Terry Virts is here. National Geographic Live. Terry Virts' view from above is tonight at the Kimmel Center. If you'd like to go, tickets just start at $31. You can get them at KimmelCenter.com.
Terry, do you have Apple TV?
I do. In fact, I got a story about that.
Okay. The reason I ask is that when it goes to the screensaver, they have several shots from space looking down on the Earth.
They do.
Were you involved in it? Well, say what you were going to say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was helped out on that project. Yeah.
Okay.
It happened after I landed. It just came out a few months ago.
Yeah. I find it mesmerizing. I like playing a little game in my head of figuring out where it is on the planet.
Yes.
And then, but there's one that goes down, for example, the coast of California.
Uh-huh.
And it starts up near San Francisco. And then before you know it, you're in like Costa Rica. You've gone past the Baja. And
yes.
It's so fast. Is that at all what it's like for you while traveling in space, seeing landforms?
That shot took us months to get, by the way. With the sunlight reflecting, you see the little lakes in Central California. That shot took a long time. So they slowed it down to nearly real time. It's not exact, but it's kind of like that. I mean, you're going 5 miles a second. So,
it only takes a second.
It takes like minutes to fly across America.
And
you know,
what's the camera equipment you use to get those shots?
Those shots were shot on Nikon still cameras, D5s, I think. It's the big professional, you know, at the Super Bowl and baseball games.
Yeah,
the
cameras,
it's the Nikon version of that. The movie, the IMAX movie I shot, Beautiful Planet, was filmed on Canon, but they're both, so they do still either 2 or 4 frames a second, still shots. And then the software guys on the ground process that into a movie.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really cool to watch.
These things are just, this is what's on my house at home. I turn it on, put on some music, and while I'm working, you know, that's going by. If you touch the remote, it'll tell you where it is.
Yes.
The little thing comes up, yeah.
I have an ISS remote or app on my phone that alerts me when it's flying overboard.
Oh, yeah.
Or flying overhead, I should say, the International Space Station. And my family and I still get the biggest joy. We've seen it I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
But it moves so fast. You see it with the naked eye, and it's just this solitary light that does not blink or change, it just zips across the sky. Yeah. It's incredible how fast that's going.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, 5 miles a second.
Yeah. Do you know who's on there right now? So, like, when it flies over, like, oh, there goes Bob.
Yeah. David Saint-Jacques is a Canadian guy, and Ann McClain is the American. There's a smaller crew. The next group of three go up soon, but, yeah.
We had Astro Nicole. What is her name? Nicole
Stott?
Yes. We had her in studio a little while back.
Uh-huh.
It's a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, awesome.
I could talk to you guys all day, every day. But I was given some hope, and it was never able to happen. But I would love for us to be able to actually talk to somebody in the space station while they're in the space station. Do you guys do that? I know that you've talked to classrooms and stuff like that. But
yeah, I think every week there's a certain number of media events. You know, the NASA PAO people get X number of that. So you can do it.
How about 2 for Tuesday? Would they go for that?
I think it'd be good. You won't have to worry about hitting the button. Those guys, yeah.
I wanted to ask where you see the space program going, the American space program. Obviously, it's a world collaboration for some of the nations around the world. But what do you see not too distant future of what's going to be taking place.
So when I look at the overall space program, I think we're at the end of the beginning. And I mean that in a good way, in that the beginning of the space program was Apollo and Shuttle and the Soyuz.
Gemini.
And these big government programs, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we're at the end of that phase, I hope, in that companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin and the private sector, we have, because of the internet, we have these billionaires who can actually fund it at a good, you know, Jeff Bezos has some spare change in his account.
Yeah.
And they're just so much more innovative. They get stuff done so much faster.
The private sector
does.
Okay.
Right?
And it's a fascinating thing to see it happen. And to do it, when Preston and I nearly died when we saw a rocket land vertically.
Yeah, the SpaceX.
It's one of my slides tonight. I show that slide.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, where do you see in my lifetime this going? Assuming I live to 80.
Yeah. I hope we go to Mars. I've written some op-eds about this. I think the moon is a good first step. We were talking about being a test pilot. So the first thing you learn is about being a test pilot is you should do a build-up approach.
Yeah.
You shouldn't just start. And we didn't start with Apollo. We started with Mercury and then Gemini and then Apollo. Mm-hmm. So I think the moon will kind of be like a Gemini in the big scheme
like
of things.
A staging launch area from the moon. Are we going to have a moon base?
Jeff Bezos wants to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and he's writing $1 billion a year of his own personal checks to, you know, make that happen. And I think to have a moon base, you'll have to be able to find water on the moon, which is, water's there, but can you get to it? That's a tough thing to do. But I don't know. We'll see. Let them try and see if it works.
And Mars viable?
Mars is viable. We need to get a better rocket system that'll get us there and back quicker.
The normal
rockets that we have now is about a 3-year round trip. And if you use nuclear powered engines, you can get there and back in 1 year. And so personally, I think 3 years, that's a lot of food and underwear to pack.
Yeah, it is.
Have they figured out the radiation protection issues?
They figured it out. It's there and it's bad. So that's another reason to go 1 year, right? You can... water's a good protection. This is one of my things I'll talk about tonight. Water is lead is the best, but at hundreds of thousands of dollars a pound.
Weighs too much, yeah.
But you have to have water anyway. So you just take your water and surround the crew, you know.
Really?
Instead of metal, you put little water bladders and that helps.
So how about water and lead, like the water from Flint, Michigan?
Yes. You should. Huh? Brilliant.
There we go.
Brilliant.
That's amazing.
Brilliant.
You should start a contract. You could be a subcontractor of Boeing. Love this thing. Yeah. Start a company.
So Commander Hadfield, they did a documentary on his year in space, right?
Hadfield, you mean Scott Kelly?
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. Kelly. It was Kelly. He flew with me, yeah.
So you're in that documentary.
With the time... Well, because Time did one. I'm in that one.
Well, specifically, I want to ask about because you guys got a you got rations sent up to you, and there was talk about the smell of space when you were opening up the capsule, and what does space smell like?
That I was so interested in that. So
if you tell him Old Spice, he's going to be thrilled.
Axe, remember that? Nothing beats an astronaut.
Axe body spray.
They still have it.
So the when you either do a spacewalk or you open the hatch because that spaceship was just out in space. There is a very unique, I've never spelled it before. And to me, it was like an electrical, musty ozone. If you had those old Lionel trains. And
They're
like sparking.
I know what you're talking about.
There's some smell.
I like that smell.
That comes with electricity. And that's just what it smells
like. It's a nostalgic smell. For me, it
smells like the 1950s.
Yeah.
But is there something to be studied there with just the smell? Does that tell you something about...
Well, so space itself, there's nothing there. So you're not actually smelling that. But I think you're smelling the effect of this crazy temperature and radiation and pressure on the metal and on the there's this fabric. It's called MLI, and it's like a thermal protection fabric that we have. So anyway, it's like what you're smelling is the effects of space on this normal material.
Did you say you flew with Scott Kelly?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, because so my son was he's in elementary school now, but he was in preschool, and he said something to me once about Scott Kelly, and I go, "Who's Scott Kelly?"
Who's Scott Kelly?
He goes, "You don't know who Scott Kelly is, Mom?" I'm like, "No." He goes, "He's an astronaut." And I was like, "Oh," and that's how I learned who Scott Kelly
who's Scott
was.
Kelly
was.
From your preschooler.
From my preschooler. Yeah. And he got so into rockets and space and all of that year. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll tell Scott. He'll be happy.
For the presentation tonight and everything. So all of these stories, pictures, the whole thing. Video.
It's over an hour. Lots of pictures. Some of my, photo. I took a lot of pictures when I was in space. Some video. Yeah. And then words.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, words. Well, you're good at words. Some of them dirty.
Yeah.
This is true.
There won't be any of those. Maybe unless they can bleep me out on stage.
You know, with the International Space Station, and I know that regularly there are experiments of sorts that are going on.
Oh, yeah.
And that takes up a good portion of your time when you're working up there. What has been the fruit of those labors that we may not be familiar with? Have there been some medications? Have there been... engineering things that we found out that we didn't know because of these experiments that have been taking place?
So that's a great question. And the way science works nowadays, it's not like Newton, gravity falls and he discovers gravity. Well, that all the easy stuff has been figured out. So the science, especially the biology we're doing, is like one piece of a 100-piece puzzle. And so and a lot of what we do goes back to the drug companies. I did some stuff for some big pharma companies on E. coli vaccinations, and so they can use that to make better vaccinations for people on Earth. There's some cancer medicines that have been worked on. Astronomy, where there's this machine that's trying to figure out what the universe is made of, is how much dark matter and dark energy is out there,
which is another whole mind-blowing concept.
We don't even know what the universe is made of. It's unbelievable. And the station is trying to do that. So
I wanted to ask.
Because I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
to piggyback on that, I'm curious as to, with the private sector getting involved the way that it is that someday we will see floating labs. Pfizer has a lab to make a better Viagra or whatever it may be.
Space boners.
In space. Because that's kind of where I see all of this eventually maybe going to, is that we have these facilities that are in space that are private and they're used for production and manufacturing of certain things you can't do in gravity environments,
right.
or in that need to be done in vacuums and so on.
SpaceX and Blue Origin are building the rockets and capsules. There's a guy named Bigelow that's building private space stations for that exact thing.
It's a mind blower.
The station's good for research, but it's not manufacturing. It's not what it's for.
I wanted to ask you, Terry, about the long-term effects of being in a weightless condition. And I know that there are different devices and exercise devices where you can retain some of your muscle and bone density and things of that nature. But how effective is that when you return to Earth? How reduced were your capabilities?
So bone density loss is a big thing. And after 200 days, they gave me 2.5 hours of exercise every day. I lost 0.0% of my bone density. So basically by lifting weights and running on a treadmill.
In the station.
Over half a year in space, when I got back to Earth, I had lost 0% of my bone density. The week I got back, I did 20 pull-ups. I was in good. It was like being on a health 2.5 hours a day. It was like being at a health spa.
Wow.
In some ways.
Wow. Yeah.
For me, the big problem was radiation, because that can lead to cancer, and you kind of just have to wait and see what cancer you get.
What are your shifts like on the ISS?
So there's not. It's not like somebody's awake all time. Everybody wakes up in the morning and goes to bed at night. If the clock is GMT, so it's London time.
Yeah.
And there's a conference call usually about 7:30 in the morning.
We have one at 6, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
A lot less stressful.
We talk to Moscow and Houston and all the different control centers, and then we go to work, do science. The reason we were there is to do science or maintenance, or cargo ship comes, or get ready for a spacewalk, or do interviews with the local rock and roll station, or whatever we're doing. That's, you know. And then at the end of the day, we have another conference, and then that's when I would start to do my pictures and film this IMAX movie, film the whole thing in my spare time. NASA didn't give me any time to film it. So it's a pretty busy day, but it's structured, but every day is different because you have to do everything.
NASA needs, I mean, listen, I've been a massive fan of NASA in the early days. I mean, the whole thing, but it is important. A film like that, an IMAX film.
Yeah.
Generates such zeal and such interest, and they, you know, they I think they need to understand more the impact of that. I think they're getting better at understanding the importance of creating fans of this.
Of all the stuff I did, I think Beautiful Planet was the most important one. I went to the Air and Space Museum. I did a nude scene in there. There's a scene like, how do you wash in space? So there's a scene of me. So I got paid twice what my crewmates did.
That's great.
Two times zero to do that scene. Anyway, when I went to the Air and Space Museum, they told me that 1 million people are going to see that movie. It'll be there for a decade or
wow.
More.
Right.
And I'm like, that's of all these science experiments I did, which are important, no one knows about them, but 1 million people are going to see them.
Are going to be influenced. Yeah. Awesome.
Speaking of experiments, the Chinese just landed on the dark side of the moon.
Yes.
And they are a growing cotton plant in the lunar module. Is that right?
I just saw that. Yeah, they have the plant growing. That was pretty impressive.
It's really
the far side of the moon. No one's ever landed there. Of course, we landed on the near side, the side you can see. But that was pretty impressive.
And is it the first time anything's ever been grown in space like this? Or I'm sorry, on the moon like this?
I think on the moon, I don't know if the Apollo guys brought anything or not. I think that's the first time that's happened on the moon.
Wow. I love it. Going back to movies, of Hollywood films, what would you rank? And obviously the Right Stuff is going to be one of the
Right Stuff,
or number one. Yeah. What would you put as like a top five, maybe, if you can think of that?
So the Right Stuff is the best. Apollo 13 is the best. That's a great movie. And it's filmed, it's real humans. They filmed it in the Vomit Comet, that airplane.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the scenes are 20 seconds or less, and it's real. It's not computer graphics.
Mm-hmm. Did you like The Martian?
I love The Martian, yeah.
And book's phenomenal, too.
Yeah, I liked 2001 was great. I watched that when I was in space.
Oh, yeah, that's so it's funny because that, you know, you're in space watching a projection of what space would be
like.
We watched
Gravity, too, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
I know the filmmaker. Interstellar, I like that.
Yeah.
It's a father-daughter story, which I love. I got a daughter. So.
But talking about depicting the length of time, the time that, you know, things would need to train. You talk about a 3-year trip to Mars, and they deal with the extremes of that sort of deep space, you know, journey and how much it would take.
Yeah, the Martian.
Yeah.
The science about what to do, you know, how to live on Mars was really interesting and pretty good. Now, the big giant Mars ship appeared and took them to Mars, and That's a minor detail. Like we don't have that Mars
you don't
ship.
Have that yet?
Yeah, right. Right. So, right. But once he was on Mars, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So when you're in space at night,
right?
Okay. And by at night, I mean you're on the opposite side right. of the Earth as
the
sun.
Yep.
Are the stars like crazier than you've ever seen? Yeah. Or they are.
You'll see that tonight. And you made a great distinction because night GMT. We could be in the sunlight or nighttime. You go around the Earth every hour and a half. So you have 16 sunrises and sunsets a day. And wow. Your body doesn't work on that clock. So that's a good distinction. But when you look at, and I was doing a talk with Chris Hadfield one time, and he said, oh, you can't see stars at night. And I was like, what space station were you on? If you turn the lights off and you let your eyes adjust, you can't, there's more stars you can imagine. I mean, yeah. The whole sky is filled.
Yeah, because the most I've ever seen was, I camped in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And there was no moon.
Right.
So
that's amazing.
That was the most I had ever seen. Right. And I just wasn't sure that if you were on the opposite side of Earth, if you would see.
It's even more. Like, I know the basic constellations. I'm not an expert, but, you know, I know Orion and the Big Dipper and... And I could never recognize a constellation in space.
No
kidding.
There's
just so many stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe there's nobody that has to watch over things while you sleep.
Well, they on the ground, the mission control. There's people 24/7.
There's Gus, the security guard.
Yeah. Can they wake you if they need to get to you?
When that alarm goes off, there's no doubt that something is significant is happening. Yeah.
Hey, how about seeing other planets with the naked eye? So, more luminous than here?
So I could see planets. Of course, Mars is red.
Yeah.
And Jupiter and Saturn are kind of yellow, orangish. They're easy. Venus is super bright. One planet I saw that I think most people on Earth have either never seen or don't know it is Mercury. It's right next to the sun.
Yeah.
If there's trees... You don't see it because it's always right on the horizon, right next to the sun. And it's just something I think most people never notice on Earth. In space, I saw it a bunch.
I have a pretty kick-ass telescope.
Oh, yeah.
And it has sun filters. Would I be able to see Mercury?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You can see it with your naked eye if you don't have trees or buildings and you know what you're looking for.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's always when it's farthest from the sun... Perpendicular, it's still really close to the sun.
Okay.
So you only see it in the morning and evenings.
All right. I'm going to have to
research you back.
That.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah.
For your next coffee table book and IMAX film.
Yes. it's going to be fascinating tonight. Terry is going to be at the Kimmel Center, which is a wonderful place in and of itself, but showing View from Above, or his show will be there tonight. And it's through National Geographic Live. Which is wonderful. We could spend forever talking to you, but we've used up our dump button for the amount of times that you've cursed today, so you've hit your allotment. But Terry, it's an honor to meet you. Thank you so much for coming by here. This
is great. It's good to be in Philly.
Appreciate it. Terry Virts, guys.
Yeah!
Go see him tonight at the Kimmel Center. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Whether you've got an Amazon Echo, Spot, or Dot, make sure you first enable the MMR skill. Alexa, enable MMR. Once you do, it's easy as pie to listen to MMR's live stream, the Preston and Steve Daily Podcast, or the Bizarre Files. Your wish is our command with simple voice-activated access to WMMR. Alexa, open MMR.
All right, let's do the beep file.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre.
Yeah! Brought to you this morning by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. That's where Terry learned how to ski, by the way.
That's right.
He said it to us earlier. There's something for all the snow lovers in your family at Jack Frost and Big Boulder. Skiing, snowboarding, or snow tubing, go to jfbb.com and save up 50% on lift tickets. JFBB, where the snow comes first. All right, we'll start with this story of a very large shark. Was a very large shark, was spotted circling a group of four people as they tried to escape a boat that had just burst into flames in Sydney, Australia.
Of course.
The group saw smoke coming from the engine room of the 34-foot luxury Mariner as it floated near Watson's Bay. They quickly put on their life jackets and they contacted NSW Maritime as the flames began to overtake the boat. A rescue team was dispatched, but the group were forced to jump into the water before they arrived as the fiberglass boat was almost completely engulfed. So here you go. Burn to death or jump into shark-infested waters. So the... According to the director of the NSW Maritime, Roger Week said, our boating safety officer and the men rescued actually saw very large sharks swimming past. He described the rescue as a miracle, explaining that the blaze appears to have been caused by an electrical fault in the engine compartment. And he commended the group for immediately contacting authorities, putting their life jackets on, and jumping into the water. They weren't...
Well, well, well.
Yeah, looky here.
Looky here.
Barbecue.
This is just not your day.
A man is facing charges for exposing and touching himself in public for the second time in 1 week.
Well, now he's getting it right.
Jason Teets was first arrested January...
Maybe I understand why he's doing it.
January 9th, following his incident at the Hotel Zamora in...
My name is Teets.
On St. Pete Beach. Police said Teets was found naked and touching himself at the hotel's rooftop lounge. He was arrested and bonded out shortly after.
Great place, huh?
Police said Teets was caught again on Saturday, this time on Clearwater Beach.
Mr. Teets, would you please stop spanking it?
According to an arrest report, five young girls spotted Teets pleasuring himself near the cabanas in front of the Hyatt Regency Hotel. So the girls told a cabana boy, 17-year-old Tyler Bauer.
What am I supposed to do?
Bauer tried to apologize. I'm sorry, tried to approach Teets to see what was happening.
I'm so sorry. I see you're busy. Would you mind stopping that?
Mr. Teets.
I am an authorized cabana boy.
He said he just kind of walked off, and when I followed him and yelled, get back here, you're not going to get away with what you just did. The teen chased the suspect into a nearby parking garage where he and a few good Samaritans were able to hold on to Teets.
Why, Mr. Teets, you're beautiful.
Until police arrived. Police responded and took Teets into custody. He now faces several felonies, including lewd and lasciviousness.
This is my brother, Mr. Nips.
Different dad.
Exactly.
Arrest records show that Teets is actually facing similar charges in South Dakota as well. He's a busy man.
Gets around.
In South Dakota and then all the way down to Florida.
Spanking it in Dakota. Yeah.
All right. And then one last story. You saw this yesterday. A colossal disc of ice that looked like something from out of this world formed on a river in Maine earlier this week.
It actually looks like a lunar photograph.
Yeah. The city of Westbrook, Maine shared amazing images on Monday of a giant frozen disc that formed on the Presumpscot River.
Look at this, Kathy.
Yes, I saw this.
A web developer's company has an office overlooking the river where the disc formed, estimates the disc to be 300 feet in diameter and rotating counterclockwise. Doug Bertelsmann said it kind of looks like a crop circle. It's pretty wild.
It looks like a crop circle over there. Spinning disc. I ain't never seen nothing like that.
This is a still photo, though. But if you see the video,
it's spinning like a spinning disc.
Yes, it sure is.
The photos show the ice disc to be larger than a nearby multi-story parking garage. Matt Battle, an associate professor of physics at Bowdoin College, said that...
You know what? I think that's larger than the parking garage.
He said, I've never seen it.
That's what I think.
I've never seen anything like it.
Probably smaller than like the Houston Astrodome.
He said it's definitely not being caused by the Coriolis force.
Yeah, they're from the Transformers.
No, that's what objects experience because of the Earth's rotation. He said it's marvelous. It looks marvelous. It's a beautiful thing. The ice disc does not appear to be going up or downstream at this time, and it could get bigger as more ice forms.
Well, you can see there's a curve in the topography there that where it helped form it, but it is rotating slowly. It is worth looking at. I know it sounds dumb, but it's pretty amazing.
It looks almost perfectly circular. So, but anyhow, the city,
the goddamnest thing I ever saw,
posted a drone video of the ice disc on its Facebook page, and that's what I have in the bizarre file for you at this point in time. We are going to take a break. We will return, and we'll see if you've been paying attention to today's program. We'll have a lesson question, and we'll also get into the trash and music news when we get back. So stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
It's about 20 minutes after 10 o'clock Thursday morning. President Steve Show. Letter of the Day. Word of the Week prize. We'll remind you what that is in a little while. We had a $1,000 winner earlier this morning. for Go Fund Yourself. And your next chance coming up at 11. Pierre is going to have it. So 40 minutes from now. Make sure that you're with us for that. In the meantime, going to do another giveaway. And we have tickets for the lesson question. And they are to the Philadelphia Wings or vouchers. So you'll be able to go, well, don't quote me. You may be able to go anytime. I said something the other day and got that went off the script, and I got kind of
son of a bitch.
Hell talking to.
Ooh, that's really? the price you pay for being an artist.
I got an email, but I didn't get a
from
talking
somebody
to
here at the station.
Yeah. So anyhow, I'm going to mind my P's and Q's and stick to the script. So what's the name of the security guard in the International Space Station? 215-263-WMMR. A lot of people don't know they have a custodian on the International Space Station. Or, I'm sorry, security guard, not custodian.
Well, same thing.
So what's the name of the security guard on the International Space Station? 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call, and we'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond, all the big-name brands, they have them. So visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? What's going on, Steve?
Well, Rosie O'Donnell telling TMZ she believes that Donald Trump has a, quote, snowball's chance in hell of being reelected in 2020. Rosie made her predictions while gnawing hands-free on a turkey leg and a harmonica holder.
What was she doing with her hands then?
I don't even know.
She's busy.
She's busy.
Right. You know, and you got it right there in front of your face. It's so much easier.
It's just wild. To Catch a Predator host Chris Hansen was arrested in Connecticut by Connecticut cops yesterday on charges of passing $13,000 in bad checks to a local vendor. Hansen says the embarrassing experience has made him a little bit more sympathetic to molesters.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Grey's Anatomy's star Ellen Pompeo saying she has no desire to leave the long-running series anytime soon. To put it in perspective, Pompeo's character's first boyfriends on the show were McDreamy and then McSteamy, but now she's dating McAARP. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. We'll see if we can get a winner. Looking for the answer to this question. What's the name of the security guard on the International Space Station? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I am going to go over here to Paul. See if he knows the answer. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Great. How you guys doing?
Great, bud. What is the name of the security guard in the International Space Station?
Gus.
That's correct. Hang on, Paul. For you, we have a pair of vouchers to see the Philadelphia Wings. And the Wings are back. Join the party and expect the unexpected. Visit wingslax.com to buy your game tickets today. Music news time.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you this morning by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute at Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balanced needs. Their expert audiologists are going to help you hear your best. Information at salusuhealth.com/PEI. The highlights from Chris Cornell's tribute concert held last night at the Forum in Los Angeles have begun to appear online. It happened later in the evening. Slew of artists were confirmed to perform at the show, dubbed I Am the Highway, a tribute to Chris Cornell. Among the highlights online at press time were Foo Fighters' Dave Grohl and Perry Farrell fronting an Audio Slave reunion, with help on bass from Geezer Butler and Metallica's Robert Trujillo, while Maroon 5's Adam Levine and Pearl Jam guitarist Stone Gossard joined forces to play the Cornell solo track Seasons. Brad Pitt, reportedly a close friend to Chris, introduced Chris's daughter, Toni, who played Redemption Song with Ziggy Marley, by the way.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
We have a little bit of some of these. I'll play a little bit for you real quick. This is Brad Pitt with Chris's daughter.
This is you, a very special duet. Just your third time on the mic, Toni Cornell and Ziggy Marley. Give it up!
And I think we've heard her sing before. And
she's good.
She's good, yeah.
Thank you.
that's just a little bit of that. What's the one with Jack Black here, Casey?
Yeah, he's
Jack Black, joined by James. I can't read
James
the rest of it.
Hetfield.
James Hetfield. Let's hear a little bit of what they put together.
Hetfield. I'm having one of those nightmares. Ooh, he's ready to go. Should we form a new band? Sorry, Kyle.
It's James playing guitar and Jack singing.
Jack looks like Joe Cocker.
He's a little overgrown. But Jack singing. Oh, man.
Master
one.
Puppets?
No, one.
Oh, one.
That's one.
Wait, on. Have taken my sight.
Yep. And then one more. It is Dave Grohl singing Show Me How to Live. And I'm not sure who he's performing with.
Let's figure this out. Audio Slave.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to fast forward this some cases. It doesn't get going for a little while. A lot of cool performances. Hopefully, this will be released in some form down
honestly,
the road.
Honestly, yeah, they should. And if you want to extend, you know, raising money, you do that.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. I hit the wrong button.
What happened?
That's okay.
Turned off the music. You know, the teletype thing. You know, the antiquated sound effect.
That suggests news to people.
That suggests news is happening as we report what the musicians
funny.
Are up to.
I get upset when I don't hear it. Because it's
know.
Yeah, it's now a comforting news sound.
Come on, you guys.
I got you.
There we go. Okay.
Look at me. I'm typing, Mom.
Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith says that the writing sessions for the band's new album were cut short late last year due to the Woolsey fire. The blaze that broke out in November destroyed more than 1,500 Californian homes and other buildings from Ventura County to Malibu and killed four people. He had said, we started to work on the new album, which for us is just getting in a room, making some noise, putting some stuff together. And then the fires came. And the house we were working in, there was no damage. It didn't burn down. But we couldn't get back in there. So that halted our progress. So that's why they had to hold up on the whole thing.
Real Ben would have done it.
So to help raise funds for the fire victims, they performed this last Sunday at a benefit called Malibu Love Sesh at the Hollywood Palladium along with Beck and St. Vincent. Smith said about the event, all the proceeds are going to help the people that suffered from the fires and the families and everything that is involved in that.
When you see aerial footage or pictures of the fire damage, it looks like an alien terrain.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And then one last story. Nikki Six is going to be a daddy for the fifth time.
And he had a vasectomy.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He had it reversed.
Oh, he had it reversed. I did not know.
Yeah, I think he has... Well, yeah. For the fifth time, this will be his fifth. And so he has four, and then he had a vasectomy.
So the 60-year-old Six and his third wife, 33-year-old Courtney Bingham Six, are expecting their first child together. Courtney told Us Weekly, we are over the moon excited to be having a baby. Nikki is going to be the most amazing dad in the world because he already is.
You're going to be
amazeballs,
babe.
Nikki's already the father of four children, like Nick said, from previous marriages. He shares three kids, 27-year-old Gunner, 24-year-old Storm, and 23-year-old Decker with his wife, Brandy Brandt. And he also has a daughter with 17-year-old Frankie Jean. Named Frankie Jean with his second wife, Baywatch star Donna DeArco. And this will be Courtney's first child. So they are good to go. Nikki recently returned to the studio with Motley Crue to record four new songs for the band's upcoming biopic, The Dirt, which is scheduled to premiere on Netflix in March. And he's also been working on new music with 6AM, whose last LP came out in 2016. That's it. You need to take off, dude?
I got a few minutes.
All right, go. Yeah. Steve's got to get somewhere, but we have another break to take, and we'll come back in just a moment. Letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize when we return, but let's give away a $50 Best Buy gift card just for the hell of it. I'll take caller number 10, 215-263-WMMR. Head to Best Buy Northeast Philly's Open House event, which is going to be Saturday, 11 to 3. and discover what's next in tech and home appliances. Access you can access exclusive offers and enter for a chance to win incredible prizes. No purchase necessary to enter. Caller number 10, you win. Give us a call, and we'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Cassettes. Celebrating our area's best talent. Tell me who you think about when you hear my songs on the radio. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword Local Shots. Cassettes, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Wrapping up today's broadcast day, a very enjoyable one. What great guests we had on today's program, you being one of them. Thank you for joining or calling in and participating in any way, shape, or form. But our old friend Gilbert Gottfried was here.
Yes.
And nice to have Gilbert in. Always an eclectic conversation. It goes all over the place. But he's going to be at Helium Comedy Club. It's a show tonight at 8. Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and 10 p.m. And he sure loved that story of Nick and his first time having sexual intercourse with Gilbert in the background on a movie.
Yeah,
in fact, it was a Disney
Gilbert.
Movie.
Yeah.
What's that?
Not actually Gilbert.
Right. No. Aladdin on VHS. I enjoyed his story about Bob Einstein and the F-bomb that he dropped that was just so blatant. And it just it really punctuated. Obviously, we had to dump that out, but yeah. I enjoyed it very much.
We had a few F-bombs. The other one came from an astronaut, Terry Vertz, who was here.
Yeah. He was, like, so proud of himself.
He was, Kathy. You're right. He was excited that he did it. Then he loved it so much that he dropped an S-bomb afterwards.
He even talked about it off air. He's like, man, I've been a Boy Scout my whole life. He'd be able to do something like that.
So he is tonight at the National Geographic live event called A View from Above at the Kimmel Center. And it's at 8 p.m. and it's fascinating stuff. And on their big screens there, he'll be sharing video and photos that he took from space and a few other things as well. Really cool, super nice guy. Gave us his card, wants us to stay in touch. If we ever have any questions about space and exploration and so on, he's our guy.
I'm going to try to go to the show tonight.
Okay.
I would really like to hear and see the entire presentation, so I'll let you guys know how it is.
KimmelCenter.com.
8 o'clock tonight.
To get the tickets. Yeah, Pierre, you could go if you want.
I was thinking about going because that was just a riveting conversation to listen to. Thank you guys for having him. And you're all space geeks.
Yeah,
particularly Kathy with her love of science.
He got in on it.
She did.
To her great credit, she did. But I mean, growing up in the '60s with the Mercury and the Gemini and the Apollo project, and you know, being a kid when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, the space project was so part of the culture of this country.
Yeah,
and it's so many offshoots now. But to hear him speak like that, just fascinating. I didn't know there was a smell in space. Mm. And your question was so cool. He noted. I can't remember what the question was now. But you had just this great question. Oh, about research.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always hear them doing experiments and what's come of it. It was just a great, great conversation.
Cool. Thanks,
and,
man.
And it was real clear that he loved it as well because he kept going, I don't believe you know about that. You know about that.
Yeah, he said something off air, too. He's like, this is a great interview. He's like, you guys really did your research, and this was a good time. So he enjoyed it. So hopefully we'll have him back sometime.
As opposed to, will you get a lot of chicks out in space, man? That's a more fun the average DJ interview of a rock star.
Right.
Yeah, how's the tour going? Get some chicks out there?
Yeah.
And then the astronaut version is, yo, bumpy ride. get some chicks out there. Drink a lot.
You know.
Stoned, anything, problems, man.
You smoke weed in space, man.
You got a tour manager.
So he's tonight at the Kimmel Center if you want to check him out. Why don't we get this letter from you, Maine?
That's what I was thinking.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
F as in forever.
All right, and we have just one more to go. We'll get it tomorrow, and we'll give away a two-room, $200 food voucher and four-ticket package to see Don Felder at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City on April 6th. And tickets are on sale tomorrow at Ticketmaster.com. I don't have the time, but you can check on that. But they go on sale tomorrow, which would be cool. What's happening on this fine day?
Two more opportunities, 11 and 1 for $1,000 and GoFund yourself. I keep calling it GoFundMe, but it's GoFund you. GoFund yourself. Also, in Jackson, of course, we'll have two more opportunities at 4 and 6 this afternoon. And you guys again at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'll have another pair of tickets for The Who coming to the ballpark May 25th. That goes on sale. Is today Wednesday? No,
it's
today's
Thursday. Don't you dare do that to me.
This sheet says Wednesday. But Pancake is more disorganized than I am, if such a thing can actually be possible. Tomorrow, the tickets go on sale for The Who, and at 10 a.m., I'll have a pair today and one more pair tomorrow. We've got some cool workforce blocks, which include the Rolling Stones and the lovely Joan Jett, another portion of our conversation that I didn't get to, and she will be one of the MMRBQ artists this year.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Pierre, and I want to thank our sponsors, too. The President and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Worldwide Stereo. Get crazy good big game deals on soundbars and smart TVs in-store only. Also brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors. FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? And also, the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University. Quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Tomorrow is going to be a good time, too. Our good friend Frank Caliendo will be in our studio tomorrow. And also right here in our studio, drummer of Def Leppard, Rick Allen, will be stopping by, too. I've always wanted to meet him.
I bet he has a lot of art, so he's probably got some shows at the Wentworth Galleries coming up.
He does have an art show. That's why he's in town. So we'll spend some time with him and wrap up the week in fine form. So that's it. We are done. Rage on. And have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, my friend.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I absolutely love you guys, but today, you guys suck. I can't believe you played that stupid Stark song. Driving down the road, Addie shot, I can't get it out of my head.
Next message.
Baby shark, do, 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 do. Baby shark, do, 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 do. Now I'll be seeing it again all day.
Next message.
So here I am at the bike shop, getting ready to weld, and all I have in my mind is a apples and bananas song. Stop it!
Next message.
Baby shark, doo-doo-doo-doo. Baby shark, doo-doo-doo-doo. Thanks for getting that stuck in all of our heads for the rest of the damn day. F*** you, Preston. Just kidding. See you in the morning.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.